a secure and peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
It's in the interest of.
It's in the interest of
long-term
a long-term peace in the world.
Long-term peace in the world.
That we
work for a free and secure.
Work for a free and secure
and peaceful.
And peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful.
And peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
Free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
In the midst of the Middle
East. In the midst of the Middle
East.
We'll have enormous historical impact. It's in the interest of.
It's in the interest of. Long-term peace in the world
that we
work for a free, secure, and peaceful
Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
Iraq.
A free and secure Iraq.
In the midst of the Middle East.
Of the Middle East will have
enormous
historical impact.
And so, in my state of the
my state of the union,
my speech to the nation.
Nation, whatever
you want to call it.
You want to call it speech.
Speech of the nation.
To the nation.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 years.
4,000 years. 4,000 years.
4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
Over the next. For the rest of your life.
Of service
to America.
To America.
That's what I asked.
I said two.
4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
I asked Americans to give
4,000 years. 4,000 years. 4,000 hours. Hours.
Over the next. The rest of your life.
Of service to America.
Of service to America.
That's what I asked.
I said two.
4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
Being brought in especially for this one-time event, including 1, 2, and 3 carat diamonds, all priced far below New York wholesale prices or better. Whatever shape or size diamond you're looking for, you'll find it at our multi-million-dollar diamond event and at the best possible price. That means with each diamond you get from Duncan's Diamonds, you'll receive a 15 to 30% larger diamond than you could get from a typical jeweler. Grade for grade, that's more diamond for you at no additional additional cost. And with our fantastic financing plans, you get 12 months interest-free. Don't miss this extraordinary opportunity. Come view our special multi-million dollar diamond collection showing this Friday and Saturday. That's this Friday and Saturday only at Duncan's Diamonds on U.S. 41, one half mile south of Page.
Coming up Monday, only on Wink News at 6. Is your home fully insured? Chances are it's not. That's what a local man found out when he filed a claim for damage to his pool cage from an afternoon storm. Now, he's stuck with nearly half the bill, even though he had insurance. How could this happen? iTeam consumer investigator Chris Safadi explains why many homes in Southwest Florida could be underinsured and what this means to your coverage, especially during hurricane season. Monday, only on Wink News at 6. Southwest Florida's news leader. Start your day with Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, and Marisa Oaks on Wink News This Morning. First, with breaking news.
Traffic is at a standstill this morning.
First, with overnight news.
Here's a look at what happened while you were asleep.
First, with weather.
You can expect to see plenty of sunshine.
Wake up to a new morning with a team you can trust to get you going fast. Wink News This Morning, only on Southwest Florida's news leader. Okay, everybody, it's time for another game of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Let's go to Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Well, I have a feeling you'll change your mind when you realize how much fun volunteering really can be.
But
in fact, Ella, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
Wait, you did what?
Take it away, class.
Ella, we've been noticing you lately in algebra class.
You have?
I'm feeling some love here.
Yeah, and we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should?
You free tonight?
Go for it!
I should.
They love you, Ella! Well, sounds like we have another happy volunteer.
That's me.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Coming to you from the sandy beaches and blue waters of beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. Here in Southwest Florida and on the internet all over the world. So glad to have you with us on the Guy James Show today. We're going to try and put together a great show. A lively show. We got a lot to talk about this week. Of course, as always, a lot happening. I hope some of our right-wing friends are listening because we're going to talk about them, and I hope they defend themselves. That's what I hope. And did you ever have one of those days where you think you're forgetting something? I'm having one of those days. I've forgotten something. I don't know what it is. But I have the feeling that I'll discover what it is shortly. I don't know. And then it'll be too late. Well, anyway. Hope you're having a good day today. My goodness, there is a lot to talk about today. Mr. Bush is over in Ireland, and I guess his little trip there is not doing so good. Got caught in his undies by the cameras. He did an interview that we'll talk about a little later that didn't go so well. Mr. Bush is having it kind of tough right now. But, he'll get down on his knees and say his prayers tonight and everything will be all right. That's what he'd have us believe. And that's something I promised you last week that I wanted to talk about this week. And we're going to kind of have a little bit of a departure from what we normally talk about. And for all of you that are chomping at the bit to talk about the 9/11, Fahrenheit 9/11 movie, we're going to do that in the second hour of the program today. And we hope to have a lot of talk about that movie, because there's a lot to talk about there, both in your experiencing it and so forth. But right now I want to talk about what we promised you last week that we'd talk about this week. And I kind of titled it, You Can't Be a Christian and a Republican Too. Yeah. And I mean that. And, you know, on this program we talk a lot about why we literally abhor the tactics of the political right. But sometimes I think I haven't been clear enough on what exactly I think are their main weapons. They're so devious and deceitful in so many ways that we sometimes fail to hone in on their biggest weapons against them. So that's what I want to talk about during this program today. And if you call in today, at least for the first hour or so, please stick to the topic I'm about to raise. And if you want to talk about something different, then wait till we're finished on this subject, and we'll do it in the second hour. But what I see is these neocons' main weapon is the tactics of dividing and conquering America, particularly in the South. You know, for the past 20 years or so, the neocons have been quietly but constantly working overtime and dividing the people in the South against one another. And they've used race and religion as wedge issues to divide the once solid South. And it's not news to many of you. Now, I know they're going to scream bloody murder when they hear me say this, but I think it's something they can't possibly deny. For years, during the first half of the last century, the South was in turmoil. Segregation and discrimination ran rampant. There was hatred and bloodshed because white people couldn't accept the fact that black folks were actually human beings endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There were lynchings and beatings, the good old KKK. In general, human behavior at its very worst. And yet the white people of the South saw themselves as deeply religious. And I've never been able to reconcile racial hatred with religion, but somehow some people have done it. They could be righteous Christians on Sunday, down on their knees saying their prayers to their God, and then treat black folks like animals on Monday. And I've never understood that. I never will. And I in fact know people, and I know some of you do too, who are still like that. So along comes Jack Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and a fellow named Martin Luther King. And they said they were going to change this problem. They were going to make it better one way or another. And they saw that hate was destructive to society. They saw a nation that had to be healed of this hatefulness. And they were determined to make things change, and they were successful. Not 100% successful. But things did improve tremendously, and life for the black folks in America began to improve like never before, actually. Still got a long ways to go. So along comes Ronald Reagan in 1980, and he proceeds to open old wounds. He goes down to the South, I believe it was in Mississippi, and start preaching states' rights. And I know any of you who are students of history in the South knows the word states' rights are code words for segregation and discrimination. And all many Southern blue-collar people had to hear from Reagan was that their hard-earned tax dollars were being spent on black welfare queens with 12 kids. You know, Reagan, that's right, folks, Reagan implied. You know, those lazy black people are taking your money and spending it on liquor and steak and cigarettes and fancy cars while you have to work 50 hours a week just to keep your bills paid. He actually convinced blue-collar white Southerners that that was true. You know, never mind the facts. Never mind that white people on welfare far outnumbered the blacks on the dole. The reason you don't have enough is because of those black welfare people was the implication of Reagan. So he didn't say it in those exact words, but he knew what he was getting. He knew he was getting that message across. Vote for me, and I'll take that money from those freeloaders and give it back to you, my white friends. But vote for me and the Republicans, because those dirty Democrats will give you everything, everything you have to those dirty, lazy freeloaders. It worked. Man, how it worked. You know, the South began to turn toward the Republicans like never before, and the Reagan's legacy in the South lives on today. So if that weren't enough to completely put the South in the pocket of the neocons, they came up with something else which would guarantee their success. Since Southerners are known to be believers more than other parts of the nation, the Republican Party sought to appeal to the religious leanings of the Southern voters. They brought out the people who I believe are the real villains in this whole scene. They brought out power-hungry charlatans. It's an unkind word, but I mean it that way, like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson. you know, they eagerly latched onto the Republican Party and did that party's ugly bidding at every opportunity. They and thousands of ministers in the South took this as an opportunity to gain favor with the White House so they could advance their agenda on abortion, privatizing the school, having a statue of Jesus in every courthouse in the land. They saw this opportunity and they seized upon it. And they're getting stronger and stronger every day, and it scares me, and it ought to scare hell out of you too. These people would do away with separation of church and state, and have given their way. People will be bailing out of the United States of America to gain religious freedom, just like our ancestors did back in England back in the late 1600s. That's what they want. And with an administration like we have right now, they're well on their way to achieving their goal of religious intolerance towards those who are not Christians and intolerance toward those who don't see things totally their way. You know, make no mistake about it, that is what they're after. And the Republicans are giving it to them so they'll continue to vote for anybody these neocons run for office. You know, votes and money are what the Republicans want from the religious Southerners, and it's exactly what they're getting from them. You know, my own ancestors, and I know many of you got stories just like this, but my own ancestors came to this country from England in 1685 because they wanted the freedom to worship their God in any way they saw fit. They, you know, they came here to escape religious persecution by the King of England. And now, what is it, 319 years later, I'm beginning to know how they felt because we got our own King George. At least that's the way he sees himself. And we've got our Falwells and our Pat Robertsons who see anyone not believing the same as they do as heathens and outcasts who are literally damned to hell. And Bush and his crowd are seeing to it that these people are being catered to. I don't think there's any question about that. They swing a big stick. It's a dangerous alliance, it's wrong, and it's divisive in a way that's unconscionable and immoral. And it's got to be stopped. They think they have a lock on God. They think they're entitled to the moral high ground because their God is the best. You know, they believe in a God who is the wrathful deity featured in the Old Testament, a God of vengeance and judgment. Whereas liberals seem to favor the loving, merciful Jesus who taught the gospel of love and forgiveness instead of an eye for an eye. You know, I'll leave the answer to that division to the more learned than I am on these matters, but you can plainly see the difference between the two parties. Now, my big problem is when I see guys like Tom DeLay, who profess to be devout, born-again Christians, forsaking the poor and the disadvantaged Americans in favor of the rich and privileged, I can't possibly see how a man can work all week long to take food out of the mouths of poor children, take health benefits from veterans, and then go to church on Sunday and believe he's right in the eyes of God. It just doesn't wash. Do religious people think the world was made just for them? Do religious people believe, as Republicans do, that supporting big business is more important than helping the poor? Do religious people believe, as Republicans do, that the end justifies the means? That the government lying to the American people is okay as long as the president has a good ending in mind? Not to my way of thinking. You know, real Christians love thy neighbor as thyself. They accept religious tolerance. And they want America to stand for peace, not for war. You know, the two parties, it's very, very clear that only the Democratic Party stands for these things. But if you think you can justify what I believe to be a very un-Christian stance on these things by the Republicans, then call the program and let's discuss it. You can call us, by the way, if you're local here at 479-5540, 479-5540 in Lee County, and in Collier County, 263-4570, and any place around the country. Well, you may call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Got that? Okay. We've got a couple of lines open. Go ahead and give us a call if you're interested in this subject. And we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be right back after these words.
The Guy James Show.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't it? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost me.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Dad, Jack and I would love to buy this fixer-upper, but we're concerned about the twins' college funds.
When your mother and I were adding on to this house while saving for your education, we went to a financial planner.
But how can we find one we know is qualified, not just trying to sell us certain investments?
If you're looking for help managing your personal finances, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For information on how to assert your rights as a financial planning client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you, coming to you live from Southwest Florida, here in beautiful Fort Myers, and of course on the internet, and lots of people online today. Glad to have you along with us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Our topic, hopefully, for this first hour, I hope some of you are interested in it. I've made the statement that devout Christians cannot be Republicans, and I think my pastor would be very proud of me of studying up all the Bible verses this week. My goodness, it's been a long time since I've done that. So we're going to talk to, where are we going to go? We're going to go to Kevin in Fort Myers. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, sir. We sure are.
You just said that in your opening statements that the Republicans use wedge issues to divide the once solid South. What do you mean by that?
I mean exactly that. I mean, what do you mean, the once solid?
Well, the once solid South would be considered a racist situation.
No, it wasn't. It was a political situation. They used to vote Democrat, right, just down the line, up and down the line. And then when the racial issues started rearing their ugly heads in the 50s, mostly in the late 50s, then we had these Dixiecrats that, like Jesse Helms and what's his name? It just died. I can't think of his name. Strom Thurmond and folks like that kind of broke away from the Democratic Party and actually swung over to the Republican Party exactly because of the racial issues.
Okay. Now, you also said that JFK and RFK and LBJ heralded or initiated the civil rights movement. I believe Eisenhower did that.
Did Eisenhower pass any legislation on race?
Eisenhower desegregated the schools in Arkansas.
Well, that was the start, but there was no legislation to make things, you know, there was no legislation put forward to change the racial situation during the Eisenhower administration whatsoever. None.
But you didn't mention that it was started by the Republicans.
Well, it was started a long time before Eisenhower. There were people with consciences many years before Eisenhower. But Eisenhower, actually, the Little Rock thing came up then. Why, you think that's funny? You think Eisenhower's...
I think you say whatever fits your agenda, is what I think you say.
All right, where am I wrong?
Well, you mentioned that JFK and RFK... And
they got the legislation
LBJ
passed, and there's no question about that. There's no question about the Civil Rights Act and all came in with those people.
There certainly is. Okay, can you tell me who forwarded the Civil Rights legislation then?
Who did what?
What senator forwarded the Civil Rights legislation?
I don't know who proposed it.
Yeah, see, you don't know nothing. That's why.
I see. Well, thank you for your call, Kevin.
No.
You've shown the intellect and the intelligence and the willing to debate a subject of your average right winger who doesn't want to know the facts. I ask you if anybody passed legislation during the Eisenhower years or before that because of racial issues, and you didn't answer the question. Who did? Who did? Who passed? Who passed? I ask you a question. Who passed any legislation before those gentlemen I met? Nobody. Nobody. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. There wasn't any civil rights legislation passed by the... You got to be kidding me. See, that's what you're faced with. Here's a guy that thinks he knows something. He's heard the likes of Hannity and Limbaugh and those jokers talk about... well, tell them what they want them to know. And they just simply don't know the truth. There wasn't any civil rights legislation passed during the Eisenhower administration. None. Absolutely none. Eisenhower was forced into the situation he was forced into at Little Rock. And rightfully so. Eisenhower was a good guy. I liked Dwight Eisenhower. He wasn't one of these right-wing crazies. In fact, I think Dwight Eisenhower, if he were alive today, would probably be a Democrat. But what do you think about that, about the Christians can't be Republicans? Obviously, not much. Usually we have our board lit up with calls today, but I can see that's a subject. I don't know whether some of you are afraid of that subject. You know, by Christians, I mean those who live by the words from Jesus, and I really mean it when I say Christians can't be Republicans. I mean those very few who actually take the words of Jesus to heart and strive to live a life based on those teachings. I mean by those who wish to help create a world in which everybody's equal. You know what I mean by equal. And where greed is considered the work of evil men and evil women. Real Christians don't vote Republican. Not really. You couldn't possibly be a devout Christian. The Republicans are now, and they always have been, and will forever be, a party of wealth and greed and the abuse of the poor and the defenseless. That's all there is to it. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You never hear the likes of Tom DeLay nowadays looking out for anybody disadvantaged or the poor, do you? Not a word. Not a word from them. They got one thing on their mind, tax cut for the rich. That's all they have on their mind, and that's all they do day after day after day, is tax cuts for the rich and finding out ways to... Well, let's go back to the call, back to the phones. Going to go to Eric in Cape Coral. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Question for you.
Yeah.
Where in the New Testament Jesus say, thou shalt tax the rich and steal from the producers and give to those who will not produce? At the point of a gun.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't say anything like that.
Well, that's true.
Someone's holding a gun on somebody to take their... I don't get what you mean.
Well, if I do not pay my taxes, then I am going to go to jail. If I refuse to go to jail, then they're going to point a gun at me. If I refuse to go to jail when they point a gun at me, then they're going to shoot me.
Well, we all have to pay our taxes. What are you talking about?
Well, of course we have to pay our taxes, Guy. The question is, did Jesus say that it is right for you to go and take something from someone else to give to another person, be they in need or not in need?
I don't know where you're going with this. I really don't.
Well, you see, that's your lack of hypocrisy. If you had reasoned with what you're trying to say, you as a liberal Democrat are trying to say that you are holding the moral high ground because you will tax those who have and give to those who have not. That is not from the Jesus Testament. That is from the Mark Testament.
What we want to do is have a society that's fair. We want to have a society, you know, I think it was Franklin Roosevelt who said, you know, we can't judge progress by how those who have too much, but how we take care of those who have too little.
I agree with that. I don't know anybody who does not agree with that.
I'd say Tom DeLay in the whole Republican Congress right now doesn't believe that.
Do you have a specific example that would bear out your point?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. On the last day of January this year, no, maybe it wasn't the last day, the last couple of days of January, I was on the House floor of the United States House of Representatives.
Yes.
And the Democrats, it was the day after the State of the Union speech. And the Democrats were pleading for an extension of unemployment benefits. It was running out for thousands upon thousands and thousands of people every week.
Extension.
extension in, what, 3 years, I think?
They wanted 13 more weeks, and there's plenty of money in the fund to do it.
I understand. How many extensions, though, would that make? Because I know that we had extended it twice. And so now this will be the third.
Well, so your point is, if it needs to be extended,
you have to draw the line somewhere, guy. Guy's unemployed. He has 13. What is it? How many weeks is it right this minute? I've never drawn unemployment.
Well, I haven't either. You'd have to ask Rush Limbaugh about that. But
I don't know.
I haven't drawn either. But you get it for 13 weeks. Don't talk over me, please. You get it for 13 weeks, and then they need to extend it, and they extend it as necessary if there's a tremendous amount of unemployed people and not enough jobs. That's how they do that. And there was plenty of money in that fund. It's not like that fund was low. Not a bit.
Now, how do you divide that as being unfair? Because everybody came to the table understanding if you want to use 13 weeks as an example, that's fine.
With the understanding that it can be extended in emergency circumstances, and that's exactly... And it needed to be extended again because unemployment was so high and there weren't any good jobs to be had. So they needed to extend it. Don't forget, these aren't just Democrats drawing unemployment. These are Republicans, too.
Oh, I agree with that. But the thing is, guys, the unemployment rate right now is better than 2%.
You asked me for an example. I told you in January, in late January. So they tried for this extension, and Tom DeLay said, and I was not very far away from him, with a sneer on his face, they don't deserve it, they don't need it, they can get a job.
Guy, hardly how is that unfair?
How is it unfair? We had thousands of families across the country whose unemployment had run out.
Guys, there were enough thousands of families that were unemployed.
See, you are exactly proving my point. There was enough money in that fund to extend it. There was never any doubt about extending it because of the money. There was plenty of money in it. So
you're saying that the line drawn for fairness is that if there's money there, it should be spent because somebody feels that it needs to be spent.
It wasn't any additional taxes coming out of anybody's pocket. The money was in the fund.
It's still going to be there. That's the point. You're saying that because it's there, it needs to be spent. If it's not spent, then the people who decided to hold on to the money are being unfair.
No, it doesn't need to be spent, but as necessary, it should be spent.
Well, you're using necessary in a rather subjective...
Absolutely not. Unemployment was high. There were thousands of people every week.
The unemployment rate was 5.6 to 5.7%. That is, almost a full 2% better than it was at any time during the
last year. And at that time, I don't have the figures here right now, but I do know at that time there were approximately 70,000 families across the country running out of unemployment every week. What should those people have done?
And get a job.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There's the difference. You have just made my point for me. You are automatically assuming that all these people weren't out hunting for jobs, that they're all sitting home on their butts.
I'm not assuming anything.
All right, then.
I'm assuming that those people have their problems. They were given your...
You said they need to go out and get a job. You're assuming they hadn't tried that. You're assuming people didn't go out...
I've been unemployed many, many times, and I have managed to get a job.
Oh,
I've worked all over the continental United States.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree on this, Eric, but you have pointed out exactly the difference that I'm talking about between a compassionate...
Thank you for your time. This makes 30 in a row.
What a dope. I hate to talk about my listeners like that, but the guy, if ever anybody pointed out exactly what the point I was trying to make and actually made my point for me, he made it in spades. He absolutely made it in spades. He asked for an example of a lack of compassion by the Republicans. I give it to him, and he goes on, well, they need to get a job. Automatically assuming, like you always hear the Republicans do, that anybody who is down and out, anybody who doesn't have a job, is sitting home on their couch drinking beer. It's pathetic. But that is the stance that the Republican Party has nurtured and fostered, and that's exactly what I'm saying about how they divided and conquered. They had this working man that we're just talking now, who is resentful for those who have lost their jobs, gaining unemployment, when there was money in the fund, not going to be any additional taxes. No, don't give them a helping hand. Don't extend it if it needed to be extended. Just to hell with them.
Yeah, but you can bet that guy is going to be the first one calling his senator and congressman when he goes out of work for some reason, whether he's cut back or whatever, and he's out trying to find a job, and he's collecting unemployment. But then, as soon as his 13 weeks expire, where he's been out busting the streets and trying as hard as he could to get something, he's going to be a prime example.
Well, it's always okay until it happens to you.
Yeah, he's going to be all against it right now, and then if,
yeah,
God forbid, that happens to him,
well, you see,
he's going to be the number one supporter.
The only unemployed people out of work that need an extension are all Republicans, evidently. Going to go back to the phone, going to go to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, welcome to the program. Let's try this again. Hello,
great.
Amanda.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great topic today. Eric made a very good point, didn't he?
Oh, I thought he made it perfectly. I mean, I should have just shut up and let him go on because
he was
nailing it down exactly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He talked like there were jobs plentiful. I don't know that many people who could go find a job over in India and Mexico with all the outsourcing and, you know, there aren't that many jobs. I don't care what the numbers are saying. I know people who have been out of work for over a year and they're not sitting around. They're depressed. They're wanting to work. They're wanting to take care of their families. And if you're going to go to the Christian aspect of it, I don't see how anybody could follow the teachings of Christ if they're a Christian and not give to their neighbor. I don't understand it. I mean, lend a helping hand. The Bible's pretty plain. Their Bible, and the Bible I read, the King James Version, is pretty plain about that. If a man asks for your coat, you're supposed to give him your shirt too.
Yep.
And I mean, it's pretty plain. You know, not to store up your treasures on earth, and where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. You know, I mean, it's pretty plain about holding on to things that are very temporary, you know, very temporary. And it's pretty plain, too, about blessed are the peacemakers. And I think if folks don't like this, what we're about to say, on separation of church and state, don't blame us. It was Jesus who said, render unto Caesar's which is Caesar's, and that which is God is God.
That's right.
First separation of church and state. You know, He said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and publicans. And I just love this. I think Republicans have the perfect name. Re means to redo. And he said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, and publicans. And I think of Republicans as redoing a hypocrite.
Yeah. Well,
so that was my point. I do think that we have way, way too many greedy people who don't want to even help their parents. They don't want to help their brothers, their sisters. And, you know, when you start cutting out social programs and you're depending on faith-based initiatives, and those faith-based initiatives aren't doing what they're supposed to do because there's not really any oversight on it, then you got a problem. You got a serious, serious problem. There is, I posted this on DU. There was something I found from the Republican committee here in Georgia that was saying so-and-so, you know, come and get a grant based on the faith-based initiatives. And then it said, contact the Georgia Republican National Committee. I thought 501c's are supposed to be nonpartisan. Does that mean only Republicans?
I don't know. I actually don't know on that. I'll tell you what. I can't get over the fact, and I don't think I will get past that today, that this guy calls up, and I don't think I've ever had a caller make my point any better than he did.
No,
I mean,
no, he really
you know, true religious Christians would not say, hey, buddy, your unemployment ran out, and it's tough noogies, buddy. You can't get any more. You know, a true Christian, you know, love thy neighbors thyself. What happened to that?
I don't know, and I'll tell you something else that bothers me. Where do they get the part about, you know, when I hear these people say they need to do this, need to do this, need to do that, you know. A lot of people have a lot of issues. It's not just that simple. Everybody, you know, the great equalizer's the cradle to the grave. But some people are born with more advantages, more education. And there's some people out there who are just dying to work. So I don't understand where they say, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm not supposed to help my neighbor. Well, you just made the point. Love thy neighbor as yourself. I don't understand where they're getting what they're getting, because if you are a Christian, you're not going to run around hollering, I'm a Christian. You're going to follow the teachings of Christ. You're not going to just say that.
Well, the trouble is a lot of them do run around saying, I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. And that, you know, that is...
That's what you preach.
That's just as wrong. I mean, you know, that is every bit just as... I had it here someplace. Oh, yeah, Matthew 6:5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in their corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men.
Right, you're supposed to go to a prayer closet.
That's right. So
you're supposed to go to a prayer closet.
But these boys out in the street are saying, hey, look at us, we're praying, we're good religious people. And then they go into the halls of Congress and throw a knife in the back of the needy disadvantaged.
There's your hypocrites. There's your hypocrites and your Pharisees of modern times. And, you know, Jesus, God does not belong to one party. And I don't know where they come up with that. I mentioned that on my CD. You remember I said, no party should own God's flag in the country. And they have really hijacked my faith. I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
And a person of faith will live their faith. Otherwise, they're just a hypocrite.
It just, I'm afraid I can't relate to some of this, and I know you can't either. I can't relate. And when I saw this happen with Tom DeLay, I couldn't possibly relate to what he had to say about extending the unemployment. Now, I mean, I know. It was money to be spent, but it was there in the fund for that, and there was no danger of running out of money for a long, long time, and people needed help. But here's it. Well, go get a job. Well, doesn't always work that way.
Well, tell me this, Guy. Maybe you can answer this question for me. How do they explain... it says, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the bomb makers.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was talking about the money was there. Well, it's about priorities. I mean, if we are, look at, people like Martin Luther King, look at people like Nelson Mandela, if you choose to feed the poor, and clothe the poor, and reach out and let folks give them a fishing pole so that they can have a fish rather than outsourcing the stock of fish, it's about priorities rather than sending jobs to India, to Mexico, having all this free trade, I believe it's fair trade. And what I'm saying is outsourcing all of these jobs and then telling people, sorry, bud, and the CEO's making all these millions of dollars stealing the pensions. Theft is theft. and lying is lying.
Well, they don't see it that way. They want it all, and not going to be happy until they get it all. The part that really always... that always grabs me is the average Joe Republican guy who's voting for these. I understand why the fat cats, and we all understand why the fat cats and the people well off vote Republican. There's no secret there. But why any average Joe making 20, 30 grand a year or less would vote for a Republican is way beyond my comprehension.
Beyond me. And I'll tell you what, stem cell research, look at all the people's lives who could be saved. I said, but see, what people don't understand, and what Nancy Reagan and a lot of other people have said, is that's getting thrown away. The petri dish is getting tossed.
Well, it's no different than I heard a scientist saying the other day. It's no different than the technology used for in vitro fertilization.
Absolutely,
same thing.
Same thing. It was great talking to you guys. People, support the Guy James Show, and please remember to help, because the government doesn't seem to want to help our veterans.
Yeah.
Be sure to try and help our veterans. And thank you, Guy, for a great show.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Hey, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And locally, 479-5540. So we go to Ryan in the Cape.
Good afternoon, Guy. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I basically wanted to talk about the issue. This has always been a sore subject with me because, you know, the religious right, they're very hypocritical. I've known people in the religious right, and they have, and they lie and they cheat in businesses, and they're pointing fingers at people, and at the same time they're pointing fingers at people. They're doing fornication, adultery, all kinds of things. And basically what they have, the religious right, in my opinion, is they have a lot of they have a lot of prejudices, but they don't have any morals. They just have a lot of prejudices. And I find that basically they control out of hate, fear, and ignorance, really.
Certainly. That's what this whole thing's about, is ignorance.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is, and you know, they'll talk about, it's like, for example, Falwell wrote the Clinton Chronicles, and he admitted later they were all lies, and one of the biggest Baptist churches in this area here honored him as being such a wonderful Christian. And I mean, the guy's bearing false witness. He breaks practically every commandment in the book, and him and Robertson all control out of hate, fear, and ignorance. And talk about morals and not having any morals. Was it not the Southern Baptist that said to outlaw slavery was to go against God because that was God's way? And I mean, you're just seeing an extension of this, guy. And you know, their morals and their ways are not good ways. Basically, I'm afraid if it keeps going in this direction, a lot of us may have to get passports and leave, because this will be the kind of country I don't want to live in.
Well, you know, it, as all of you have seen how the Taliban was in Afghanistan, that's where we're headed. If we let these people go, if we let them do what they want, we'll have an American Taliban.
Absolutely, and it's like with the abortion issue. The same people that want to outlaw abortion, they don't realize what it was like here when abortion was illegal. I mean, poor women were dying in back street butcher shops, but they've forgotten
about the coat hanger method.
Yeah, and the massive suffering. And these are also the same people that don't want any sex education, don't want any birth control. I mean, why can't these people refuse to grow up? It reminds me of people that are like a bunch of little...
Whoops, we lost our caller. Are you still there, Ryan? Ryan? Hey, we've lost you, Ryan. Sorry about that. Don't know what happened there. Ryan's gone. Hey, we're going to pause for a few words, and you're listening to The Guy James Show. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We'll be right back after these words.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Hey, ladies, you know, I was just thinking about the Founding Fathers.
Wow.
Well, gotta go.
Swell.
Ronnie is so buff now.
So history buff.
Wow, but how?
LOC.gov, Library of Congress website. Whole American experience in film, photos, music, and fun-filled facts.
No wonder Ronnie's so history buff.
Want to get really history buff? Visit LOC.gov, the Library of Congress website. A public service message brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
A few gray hairs or wrinkles might bother some, but not me. When I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I wasn't sure I'd be around for my next birthday. But thanks to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's life-saving research, survival rates have increased dramatically. My cancer's in remission. If that means more gray hairs and wrinkles, I'll take them. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Kathleen Magby Brown, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
Democrats, unite. This is the year and now is the time. Your voice must be heard in Southwest Florida. Join hundreds of other concerned American patriots as we combine our energies, our talents, and our resources to announce to all of Southwest Florida that our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices no longer denied. Our party needs us now. Our country needs us now.
The Collier County Democratic Club is leading the way, rising on the tide of determination. Join us at our exciting monthly meetings and learn what you can do to make a difference. Call the Democratic Hotline today at area code 239-434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. Again, call 434-7754 or log on to www.collierdemocrats.org. This is the year, and now is the time. The time to start thinking about tomorrow. The time to start thinking about joining the Collier County Democratic Club. This has been a paid political advertisement, approved and paid for by the Collier County Democratic Club, Bill McMahon, Treasurer. To the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back with you. Say, well, why is it these people from the so-called Christian right seem so mean and nasty? Have you noticed that? I mean, what is it they seem to, you know, they want everything their own way, and if they don't get it, they condemn those who disagree with them as heathens or anti-Christians. Have you ever run into some of these Christian fundamentalists from the right? I affectionately call them fundies. For they're very fundamental in their Christian beliefs, you know, black and white, no gray, good or bad, right or wrong, with us or against us, you know, that sort of thing. God will get you if you don't agree with them. You know, I don't want to be judgmental here, but it seems to me that more often than not, they've got things exactly backwards. They preach absolute intolerance toward gay people, and if you're from another religion, forget it, you've got no chance at the salvation. They blame all the ills of the world on others. And, you know, they choose to forget that their members have divorce and family problems and alcohol and drug addiction just like any other group. The only thing is they're better at covering it up than the rest of us. You know, to them, God is this, at least the way I picture it, to them it seems like God's this mean old guy sitting up in heaven with a fistful of lightning bolts ready to throw down upon the non-fundies who are the sinners in the world. You know, they're marching toward the rapture, and the sooner they can bring it on, the better. They're willing to forgive anyone who is a fellow fundy, but God help you if you're not one of them, because they'll damn you to hell for the rest of your life. Example? How about the difference in their feelings about Bill Slotz Bennett and Bill Clinton? Huh? Why, Bill? Well, oh, yeah, gambled a couple $1 million, and yes, in fact, that is everything against everything that the church believes in, but it's okay. Bill Clinton, forget it. You know, if you're a fundamentalist Christian Republican and kick the alcohol habit, you're forgiven of your sin of alcoholism and welcome back into a fold. But if you happen to be a liberal Democrat, you're most certainly an alcoholic for life and don't deserve any forgiveness. You know, if you're Jimmy Swaggart and frequent the ladies of the evening and just say you're sorry, move on and continue to preach the word. That's all you have to do. If you're Jim Baker and you swindle thousands of people out of what was in many cases their life savings, you just say, God forgave me, and you start a new ministry and swindle some more people. You're any one of the many fundamental evangelists that provide over one stage fake miracle after another at these huge auditoriums and fleece the crowds out of all their hard-earned cash, and you're revered. You know, I sometimes have to remind myself that these guys are among those on the right who want to privatize our schools. Can you imagine some of the classes they'd have in their schools if they were, you know, if they're able to follow their true leanings? What they want? You know, their history books would teach about how the world was created about 5,000 years ago. To hell with science. You know, their science books would teach that evolution never happened. Their political science courses would teach the kids how to stifle free speech. Their social studies books would have chapters on who and how to hate. There'd be chapters on the benefits of the one-party system. And of course, there would be a chapter about who, obviously, is the Lord and Master and Savior of the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan. We'd have all that to look forward to if they had their way. Going to go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Juanita, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm calling out. I have a couple of Bible verses for you that came to me. Is James 2, 15 and 16,
yeah,
from King James Version. And it says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, Notwithstanding ye gave them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And
well, I might ask there, Juanita, just like that guy called and asked, where does it say, where does it say there that you shouldn't give anybody another chance if they need it?
Right.
Yeah.
It also talks to James about if it says if there's comes someone in your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth a gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? I mean, the book of James has got quite a bit about that in it.
Yes, indeed.
And another thing, Jesus said, I was hungry, and you did not feed me. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was in prison, you did not visit me. And they said, well, who are you talking about? And he said, anyone who did not do this, I don't know them. You know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And I've come a long way with my Christian beliefs. I've had a lifetime of mental illness, and it's really saved my life to come to know Jesus better and better. And I've gone through the right-wing church and all like that, but I've got greater peace of mind than I've ever had, you know, just by the simple truth of Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, if you're going to be a devout Christian, you should be a devout Christian, and you should live by the tenets of the Christian way, instead of saying one thing through the week and doing another on Sunday. And Juanita, I thank you very much for your call.
Could I just say one more thing?
Yes, just go ahead.
You know, the one church says we need to take back our country for Jesus, and our country's never been totally, you know, I mean, look at the slavery issue and many other issues. We need to go forward and better our country and not say take back our country, because as Christians we're not supposed to take over the government.
No. Well, what some of them mean when they say take back the country, they want to take it back to the Dark Ages. That's where they want to take it.
Right. Yeah,
that's
what they call the good old days.
Yes, the good old days.
Give me the good new days.
Thanks, Juanita.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your call.
Bye-bye.
888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, and locally here. You can call 479-5540. What do you call somebody that calls in about, you know, we talk about this Christian issue. We started out the program today. What do you call somebody who keeps calling the studio week after week with false names and claims, you know, a different name and a different phone number and lies every time they call? Psycho, yeah. but this is... you know, it's one of the examples I'm talking about, willing to go anywhere and do anything to make your point and, make a fool out of yourself. I guess that's what it ends up as. But I suppose we've exhausted this subject. I wanted to go over it today because I believe it. I see it. You know, I cringe when I hear him say compassionate conservative. There's some local political ads being played right now about people say they're compassionate conservatives, and I cringe when I hear that, because I know how compassionate most conservatives are, and you do too. That's not to say that everybody on the conservative side is not compassionate. I know some compassionate conservatives. George Bush is not one. John Ashcroft is not one. Dick Cheney is not one. Donald Rumsfeld is not one. And most certainly Tom DeLay is not one. I have not yet seen, in the years that I've been covering politics, I have not yet seen one iota, one ounce, one speck of compassion come from Tom DeLay. And I know you probably get tired of hearing me talk about Tom DeLay, but... to my way of thinking, there has probably never been, not in my lifetime, a more despicable politician than Tom DeLay. He's mean. He's nasty. He's contrary. He will sell his soul to the highest bidder. He'll sell your soul to the highest bidder. Tom DeLay is a political rat. That's all you can say for him. And the man has shown over and over and over again that he does not know what compassion is. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of you don't like to hear it, but I don't think Mr. Bush has given us any examples of what compassion is either. Not his during his stint as governor, and certainly not as his stint of the presidency here. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about it. You know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about Fahrenheit 9/11. Yes, we are. I know a lot of you have seen it. I know a lot of you are willing to criticize it without having seen it. I've seen some of that this week. I went to see it myself last night, and it was a great, interesting experience, and I know a lot of you... I don't think I've ever seen the Internet so lit up over something. Just thousands and thousands of posts on the Internet about the Fahrenheit 9/11 movie. But if you've got a story to tell about seeing that movie last night or a story about the movie and you haven't seen it, whatever, I do hope you'll give us a call in the next hour. We'd like to hear your Fahrenheit 9/11 experience. I have mine to talk about, and I think Biz has hers to talk about, and we've got other people that want to talk about it as well. It was a packed house when I attended last night. So, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. We'll be back right after that.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
It's in the interest of...
It's in the interest of...
A long-term peace in the world.
Long-term peace in the world that we
work for a free and secure,
and secure
and peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
It's in the interest of...
It's in the interest of
long-term,
a long-term peace in the world.
Long-term peace in the world
that we
work
for a free and secure
and peaceful
Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful.
And peaceful Iraq.
And peaceful Iraq.
A peace,
free
and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and
secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
A peace, free and secure Iraq.
In the midst of the Middle East.
In the midst of the Middle East.
We'll have
Enormous historical impact.
It's in the interest of...
It's in the interest of... long-term peace in the world.
Long-term peace in the world that we...
Work for a free and secure
and peaceful
Iraq.
And peaceful
Iraq.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq. In the midst of the Middle East.
Of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
And so, in my state of the union, my speech to the nation,
whatever
you want to call it.
Speech
to the nation.
To the nation.
I asked Americans to give 4,000 years.
4,000 years. 4,000 years.
4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
Over the rest of your life.
Of serving.
of service to America.
To America.
That's what I asked.
That's what I asked.
I said two.
I said two.
4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
Americans to give
4,000 years.
4,000 years.
4,000 years.
4,000 hours.
Hours.
Over the next.
Over the next.
The rest of your life.
Of the rest of your life. Of service to America.
Of service to America.
That's what I asked.
That's what I asked.
I said two. 4,000
hours. 4,000
hours. 4,000 hours. 4,000 hours. 4,000
hours. 4,000
hours.
4,000 years, 4,000 hours.
4,000 hours.
Of America's number one Democratic talk show brings his bold brand of liberal talk radio to Southwest Florida. Now, here's Guy James.
I invite you to join me every Saturday for a look at the way it really is. You've already heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth.
Guy James, every Saturday, 3 to 6, right here on Power Talk 1200. It's the Guy James Show.
Hi, I'm Lila Jaber with the Florida PSC. I want you to know about two programs that can help make phone service affordable for all Floridians, Lifeline Assistance and Link Up Florida. If you already qualify for certain public assistance benefits, Lifeline can save you up to $11.35 on your monthly phone bill, and LinkUp can reduce your initial hookup fee by up to $30. For a free brochure, call us at 1-800-342-3552 or visit our website at floridapsc.com.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WBTK.
Fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told?
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Thanks for being with us this afternoon. You are listening to the Guy James Show, coming to you live from Fort Myers, Florida, and on the Internet as well. Glad to have every last one of you with us today. Hey, before I forget, I want to dedicate that last hour of the show, the first hour of the show today, a special dedication to Mr. Republican Jack Ryan from Illinois. I was running for the Senate out there, and I thought since the topic was, had Christianity in the topic, that we dedicate that to him today. And we know, well, we hope he gets word that we had the first hour dedicated to Republican senatorial candidate, former Republican senatorial candidate Jack Ryan of Illinois. Hey, and before I move on, I'm going to move on in just a moment. I told you we're going to move on to the Fahrenheit 9/11 program. I'm going to talk about that. I want to read you something that I found on the Democratic Underground this week, and once in a while something just hit you. You know, you read it and it just hits it, and you're going, wow. That's really good. And this really hit me, and I asked this gentleman for permission to talk about it on the program. He's known as Harrison on Democratic Underground. And Harrison, we're going to talk about your little article you had on there, and I got to tell you, I thought it was one fine piece. And I'll quote him, and I'll just read this quickly, is what he says. As a native of the South, I grew up with the burden of Southern history, the legacy of overt and violent racism that soiled every Southerner's soul. As a child of the 60s, I watched the news reports of Dr. King and the other prominent members of the civil rights movement and tried to square their calls of love and nonviolence with the anger and hatred spewing forth from the mouths of white people, friends, and even relatives that I knew and loved. It was hard to reconcile the two. And then in the 1970s, something happened. Schools were desegregated, and I began to know black folks as equals. And it seemed as if the burden was lifted, that the struggles of the 50s and 60s and somehow redeemed this land. And in 1976, a native Southerner, Jimmy Carter, got elected. And the state of Mississippi gave President Carter the deciding electoral vote. Hundreds of thousands of black Mississippians and white moderates banded together to carry the state for a native of the South and a moderate Democrat to boot. It got even better. Jimmy Carter held a town meeting in Yazoo City, Mississippi, a national town meeting on network television to extol the successful integration of public schools. It seemed as if the United States was moving into a new era where the original sin of race in America was being overcome in the worst place for race relations. Then in 1980, it all seemed to change. Ronald Reagan came to Philadelphia, Mississippi, the city of love, and just 17 miles from the murders of the three nonviolent civil rights workers, and invoked the phrase states' rights. There it was, an appeal to history, an appeal to the buried racists who had been in retreat, an appeal to them, an appeal to the very worst in our nature. And at that point, the Republicans made their deal with the devil. They knew they had to take back the South to get control of this country, so they did. Old Southern politician, they did just what they had done for over 100 years. They divided and they conquered. They reopened the historical divide between blue-collar folks and black folks, and they did it on the basis of race. Then they joined hands with the moral majority and utilized the wedge issues of abortion and the death penalty and organized the theology of preaching from the ministers across the South. And these preachers stood in their pulpits and told these people that America had lost its way, that the liberals in America had taken this country down the wrong path, and that they had to vote for the conservatives to do God's will. And the people in these congregations, with simple understanding of faith and a belief in the authority of preachers, believed what they were told. And so the Republicans divided people on the basis of religion. And then Reagan won. All of a sudden it changed. All of a sudden we were in dirty wars in South and Central America. All of a sudden the Republican Party became strong in the South and America as a whole. All of a sudden there were tax breaks for the wealthy. And the military-industrial complex was fed, and more wealthy people made more money. It all changed with Reagan. Now, some 25 years down the road, America is the most divided it's been since the Civil War. And Republicans have been successful in doing in America as a whole what had been done by Southern politicians for years and years, dividing and conquering. And it's all intentional, of course. Divide and conquer. Keep the average people fighting amongst themselves. Distract them with wedge issues so they can enrich themselves. It's all about money, you know. That's what it's all about. That's from Harrison on Democratic Underground. Harrison, a very, very fine piece, and I thank you for that. All right, we're going to move on now, and we're going to try and change direction a little bit, talk about the Fahrenheit 9/11 movie. I saw it last night. Lots of folks saw it last night. People all over America are seeing it today, despite the fact that it was only released to 400 theaters, where I understand it's usually about 4,000. Biz, you went to see the movie last night, yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, I did. And I was begging and pleading with everybody I knew to try and come bring somebody along with me, because I can sit in a restaurant and eat by myself, but the one thing I always said was I will never go to the movie theaters by myself. I broke that last night, and I went by myself.
Did you now?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have to get up so early to get to work here, but I went to the... planned on going to the 1:30 show, but when I pulled up, the line was all the way around the little ropes, like at Disney World, and then down the hallway.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting to the 2:20 show, because before I even got to the ropes, 1:30 was sold out. It was just incredible.
How did it hit you? What did you come away with?
The one thing that stuck with me the most was the mother. They ended up in the film. Michael Moore went back to his hometown of Flint, Michigan, to kind of cover the unemployment. And he's talking to a woman who was working in a employment services agency, and come to find out that this woman had a son that was overseas. And he kept coming back to this woman during the film for good reason, and I don't want to give anything away in this, but it just, she got me. And I'm not a softy. I mean, it takes a lot to get me going, but by the time the lights came up, I had tears streaming down my face. That woman got me.
Well, I'd say
with her story,
that certainly dovetails with my experience as well. It was a heart-wrenching movie. It was funny sometimes. It was provocative. Most certainly was provocative. And for all you right-wingers listening, let me tell you one other thing it was. I found one small mistake in the movie. As some of you may know, I pay a lot of attention to what goes on in the political world. And I consider myself someone who knows quite a little bit about the subject matter of that movie. And I found one small mistake, and it was so insignificant it really didn't matter. But the rest of it was just the plain old unvarnished truth. That's all there was to it. Let's talk to somebody, see what they have to say about it right now. We're going to go to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I must admit right off the bat, I haven't seen the movie yet. The long lines I found kind of daunting last night. I plan to see it soon, but
you know what I did? I bought my tickets online, walked up to the ticket office and got them, and bang, zoom, I was in line, and it was great.
Yeah, I had no idea what I'd be facing there. But along with that subject, I wanted to talk about the attacks on Michael Moore these past 2 weeks as the movie has been released across the country. It's taken so many different forms. I wonder if these neocon radio hosts, they're getting points on the movie, or they're the dumbest people in the world.
I heard the guy filling in for Michael Savage last night say that he wanted to tie Michael Moore to the back of his F-250 Ford pickup truck and drag him a while. That's what he said.
Oh, it's just, but you couldn't buy the publicity that they've given this movie. I think that they pretty much guaranteed the long lines, all these neocon hosts, and they're coming from so many angles. And all of these, this one guy, Phil Hendry, that does the cartoon voices, suddenly now he's very political in his show, and he's saying, well, if I got Michael Moore wouldn't come on this show because I've got the facts. All of this bravado and bluster that these people, and now the one person I really want to talk about is the crux of this call, and it does tie into Michael Moore, is this Tammy Bruce, who's now
probably. And for my mind, you know, John, if a lot of people don't know who we're talking about a woman from California, a former National Organization of Women president in California, maybe even national, I don't know if she was, a devout liberal all of her life, and probably the biggest liar of a talk show host that there could possibly be, because she has sold her soul to the right in order to have a radio talk show. That's it, plain and simple.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, when people are looking at Rush Limbaugh's 10-year, $285 million contract, I think it brings out the sweaty opportunist in a lot of them.
Yeah.
And one of the tax she's taking, she's coming on like she's a trained psychoanalyst, which she's not. She has a BA degree, that's it, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But and she's her thesis, and I couldn't make this up, is that anyone who is a liberal or a progressive, it's only because of some sort of self-hatred that was formed early in childhood. Something a term she calls malignant narcissism that she flings around like it's a clinical term. It's not. She made it up. She wants to coin a term so that she can jockey for position in the Fox stable of neocon radio. I mean, they know what people like Sean Hannity are making and what people like Russia
sure, and she was somebody. She had a name for herself. She wrote a book, and so she said, you know, maybe if I just switch over there to the other side and start calling names. And that's exactly what she did.
One of your fellow broadcasters, Jim Watkins, had her on the phone this week, and he was buying everything she was selling. I tried so badly to call into that show, but I couldn't get in. He bought everything, every line, not And all she offered were the flimsiest of anecdotes to support anything she had to say. And then she got on the subject of Michael Moore, and she said, well, look at his body size alone. Doesn't that show you what sort of self-hatred he has? I thought, oh, lady, it's getting frantic.
Oh, boy.
When they start putting people like her out there, it's getting frantic on the other side. It's got to be a situation where they're scrambling for something. And Michael Moore, of course, has become their lightning rod the last couple of weeks. And I look very forward to seeing the movie.
Desperate, John. They are desperate to keep people away from this movie.
Oh, and they've done just the opposite. They've stimulated more interest in this movie than I think the studios could with the biggest advertising budget they could muster.
Let me tell you, folks, for those of you who haven't been there yet, when that movie ended last night, the whole audience where I was at, and it was packed, the whole audience stood up and applauded. I have never seen that in a movie before.
I look forward to seeing that. I mean, I know that Michael Moore is in his own way. He's a bomb thrower. I know he is.
Sure. I don't like the guy. I don't like him at all. But I haven't met him, but I just don't like the persona he puts forth. But has he done some great work? Oh, most certainly.
Oh, sure. And in his last movie, Bowling for Columbine, he pretty much he didn't come up with the answer, but he did something just as important, is that he tore down all the rationales we have come up with as to why we are such a violent country. And I think the only answer he could come up with is, whatever it is, it's something other than what everybody's saying it is. And he used a really good train of logic to just completely disassemble all of the reasons that we've come to accept that become part of the common wisdom in this country. And I thought that was a very important thing to do. You know, maybe we do need to do a lot more thinking about why we have so many violent deaths in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was nothing in that movie that every young person in the United States hadn't ought to see. They had ought to see it. They had ought to see it because they know what war is about. They know what the consequences of war are. They need to see it.
Absolutely. Well, Guy, I'm sure you got people stacking up behind me, but I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to say I've called you several times in the past. I've enjoyed all of our conversations. I'm going to be moving from the area in the next couple of days, and I will make sure to listen to you on the Internet, and I hope that you get picked up so that I can tune you in on the radio.
Well, thanks. Maybe if I turn over to be a right-winger all of a sudden, maybe that'll help.
maybe you can...
When that's going to happen, John? When donkeys fly.
And the day I quit.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks John, for your call. I appreciate it
very
much.
Oh,
let's see. Who do we have here? I hope I didn't just cut somebody off. I think I might have. I'm not sure. We're going to go to Andy in Florida. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. How you doing? Great show today, by the way. Well, it's always a great show when you're on the air.
Well, thanks.
I went to Fahrenheit 9/11 last night here in Seattle. And
This is the Andy.
The Andy.
Hi, Andy.
How are you doing?
Great.
It was an awesome experience. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. You know, a funny thing, they turned the air conditioning off in the theater here.
No.
Yeah, it was hotter than heck.
Wonder why they did that.
I don't know, but
just to make a bunch of liberals uncomfortable.
I think so. But I think Michael Moore's making a lot of conservatives very uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, I this movie I think is a watershed moment.
Absolutely.
In the last 4 years, and I sure hope it's causing heartburn in the White House. And
how many people have you? How many of the pundits and the talking heads on TV have you seen cutting it down and that admit they haven't even seen it?
Well, you know, I don't watch TV at all.
That's a good idea.
I gave it up 4 years ago when they started lying about 9/11 and have just never really gone back, you know, and I'm far happier not watching TV.
Yeah, well, I there's something to be said for that. How'd the movie hit you? What did you think?
Well, honestly, I as soon as the 9/11 footage, you know, wasn't there, and it was just the sounds, I was crying. I mean, that's an emotional, it's still evokes that emotion that it did, you know,
sure.
4 years ago when it happened.
Brought it right back.
Yeah, it's you know, and then I've got a great nephew right now that's in Iraq, and you know, I fret about him, and you know, then I see this woman, you know, and I'm like, you know, so it was pretty emotional for me for sure.
You know, there were several moments in it for me. The one with the old Iraqi woman. Appealing to God after her home had been blown up. The Iraqi father who was anguished over that child that they threw in the back of that wagon or truck or whatever it was that had been blown to smithereens. And the scene about the Black Caucus people talking in front of the Senate,
yes, absolutely.
That disturbed me to no end. And I've known that. I've known that all along. But still seeing it did something to me.
Well, you know, and it's like, to me, they were pleading. It's like, you know, please do something.
And what could point out any better right there at that moment when those black folks of the Black Congressional Black Caucus from the House of Representatives, for those of you that haven't seen it, they got up, and I don't know if you know this, but this happened when the election was being contested all during that, and it finally had come down, they wanted to protest it. And they needed one senator, just one senator, to sign off so that they could put through their protest, and not a single senator on the Democratic side or the Republican side would do it. And it just showed me that politics sometimes there's not a lot of difference between parties. You have something to say, Biz?
What bothered me the most about that part was there was one particular woman who got up there and, you know, fled her little case. And at the end she goes, and I don't care if it's not signed by a senator.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Gore standing in the background, he goes, well, unfortunately, this committee does. And then the senators applauded that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me the most, was that these guys had the cojones enough to just...
I thought it was gutless. I really did. And, you know, I'm saying that about, 46, 47 Democratic senators. They were gutless, and... they should have lodged a protest and said to hell with the consequences, I thought, but they wouldn't do it.
No, they wouldn't. They just didn't have the cojones, as you said.
Nope, exactly right.
So, you know, what can you do? Well, I know what we can do this November.
Absolutely.
We can vote.
Yep.
And get these thieves and criminals out of our hair.
Yep, that's what we need to do.
Maybe.
Andy, are you starting off? Let's just for a moment here change direction. You and Bev Harris, I hear rumblings that you're going to go around the country and do some work on the black box voting issue.
We are. I've actually, good news and bad news. I have dropped my bid for the Secretary of State's office here in Washington, partly because Bev incorporated as a 501c3 and it's funded. It's well funded, as a matter of fact, and she asked me to be the associate director. We make a powerful team. So we are starting a road trip. I'm actually leaving out of Seattle tomorrow night. We'll be on the road for 3 weeks and doing posts from the road. So y'all can check it out. It's at blackboxvoting.org. We're going to be doing daily reports. And there's good things coming, really good things coming.
So. You be sure and ask Bev if she got my email about it if you get to Southwest Florida.
If we get to Southwest Florida, you can bet we'll be there to see you. You can bet.
Absolutely. We'd love to host you. We would. Andy, thanks so much, and thanks for all you're doing and all you're about to do. And I know you'll keep us posted on that, and, of course, we'll let all of our listeners know.
Absolutely. Thanks, Guy. Liz, talk to you later. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy your show, Guy.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Going to go to, what do we got? We got Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Guy?
Oh, a lot.
Well, if I could just say something really, really quick about what you guys were talking about last hour. If you really want to make a right-wing Republican, like, look at you cross-eyed, you can ask them two things. Number one, ask them to explain to you how Jesus Christ would have ordered the invasion of Iraq. And number two, ask them about the little verse in Genesis when God starts talking about the creation, and he says, let us create man under our image and under our likeness. And ask them, if God is only one entity, then why is he saying our, and why is he saying let us create under our image and under our likeness, if it's only one person? But that's neither here nor there. About Michael Moore. I haven't seen the movie yet. Like I was telling the screener, I've seen both of his movies. I've read both of his books. I mean, I know pretty much where he's coming from. And one common theme in the books and in the movies, is the theme about the media. Okay, and that's why the media is so upset, and that's why they're so busy trying to discredit him. The reason why is because the theme in his movies is how the media is working with our government and big business to create a state of panic in the country. Okay, if you turn on the news, what are they talking about? They're talking about murder, rape, robbery, war. And when 9/11 happened, all they did was just take it to the next level. Okay, they upped the ante. Now we even have something called a terror alert. Well, whenever they want us to be a little more panicked, they just, you know, change the color on the dial and say, okay, well, now be really afraid. You know, 5 minutes ago was fine, but now, you know, be really afraid. And when people are in a state of fear, they act irrational. And when you're in a state of panic and you're afraid, it clouds your judgment. That's why we're in Iraq. Okay? By anybody's reasons, including the president, the reason why we invaded Iraq is not because they attacked us, it's because we were afraid. We were afraid that they might have weapons of mass destruction, we were afraid they might be cooperating with terrorists, and all of that is caused by what the media does, is by instilling fear in everybody. Okay, and why were we afraid of Iraq? Because the president, the media, and everybody got together and told us that these people had weapons of mass destruction and they were going to attack us and we were in imminent danger. And on top of everything else that had happened before that, what was the expected reaction? Of course, we'd all be, you know, ready to go chop off heads or whatever, especially when, you know, you've been told, you know, September 11th is going to happen. And just to prove my point, I don't know if you were listening to the radio stations this week, but Neil Bortz, he comes on the radio and gives you a scenario where a nuclear weapon is going to explode in a city, and how if you elect John Kerry, people are going to die. And Sean Hannity tells you that, you know, 9/11 was just a preview of coming attractions, and, you know, be afraid, don't vote for liberals, be afraid of them. You know, and I mean, that's really, and I'm sure that's what his movie's going to be about. I mean,
oh, Bortz is the one that's been running promos on his program around here, saying if you vote for John Kerry, you're signing your own death warrant.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why
guys
they hate him. And the reason why they hate him is because Moore is exposing them.
Yeah.
And now people will be forced to talk about it and pay attention to what they're doing, and people will start catching on, and that's why they don't even want you to go see the movie. I mean, Glenn Beck said in his show, we're going to tell you everything about it so that way you don't have to go see it.
And, of course, Glenn Beck would be real fair about it, too, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could just say one more thing.
Sure.
I mean, for people, like, we live in Southwest Florida. I know there's people listening around everywhere. These are our radio show lineups, okay? We start off in the morning with Tony Snow. And then we have competition between Glenn Beck and Neil Bortz. Then Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. Then Sean Hannity. And some guy who's afraid to say that he's a right-winger and sounds like he's falling asleep. I don't even know his name. And then Michael Savage, and then capped off by Lars Larson and Laura Ingram, or whatever her name is. And, I mean, you can just see how much of a liberal media we have over here.
Oh, yeah, Rusty Humphrey. I'm trying to think. There's some more. I can't even keep up with all of them. I really
right,
can't.
Yeah, now they included Michael Savage. So
yeah.
There you go. Please, if the program manager is listening, give us something, man. Give us Sam Donaldson back 2 hours, please. But take it easy, guy. Have a good day.
Thanks for your call. Do appreciate it. You know, I understand why the Republicans are going stark raving nuts over this Michael Moore movie. I really do. And it's obvious to me and everyone I talk to after it that it is 99% accurate. Like I said, there was one small piece that I didn't agree with, but it was totally insignificant. And on the whole, regardless what you think of Michael Moore personally, on the whole, I think he completely nailed it. And Moore called it an op-ed piece, and I kind of agree with that, but his opinions are shared by millions in this country and around the world as well. And I know I have, and many of you have studied Bush and his actions really closely, and this film is the plain, unvarnished truth. You know, it's no wonder the Bushites are so furious and desperate to stop it at any cost. And even if they do succeed in stifling it now, the seeds have been sown. And there's no way to stop the anti-Bush feelings that resulted from watching this 2 hours of hard-hitting film. I watched a couple of people from the right on TV who saw the film, and they railed against it. And they said there wasn't a kernel of truth in it, you know. And after hearing that, I now know that I can never, ever again believe a single word coming out of the mouth of Joe Scarborough and Bill O'Reilly. I mean, I already knew that, but I was giving them the benefit of the doubt, and Scarborough in particular gave a scathing review of this film, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to see it for myself, and so I did last night, and I got to tell you that I've got to wonder if Scarborough is just flat-out lying and towing the party line, or is he just plain delusional? I mean, if you saw that movie and really believe it's nothing but lies, then you're really not capable of thinking for yourself. And it's fascinating how many right-wing pundits have trashed this film without even seeing it. You know, I heard some of them say they absolutely would not go to see it, and then later they gave a full critique of it. You know, and to think their listeners actually put stock in what they say. And, you know, between trashing Michael Moore and Bill Clinton this past week, they didn't have much time for anything else. And this just all points out how desperate the incompetent neocons are to keep their power. They're willing to trash anyone and anything. It challenges them in any way. And, you know, make no mistake about it. If they had the chance, they would remove free speech as one of our freedoms. I mean, I'm convinced of that. If they had their way, we'd have a minister of information who'd censor every bit of material the public would see. And that's their aim. And if they succeed in stopping Moore's movie, it's going to be a big step in their efforts to force-feed their warped extremist agenda to the American people. You know, this sinister, incompetent Bush administration has succeeded in creating an atmosphere of distrust and division like we really haven't seen since the Civil War. You know, sooner or later, the voting public is going to realize that if November 2nd, 2004 doesn't bring the Bush administration to an end, it may well be too late to turn back from this disastrous course they put us on. Back to the phones here. I talk too much. I'm going to talk to Harry in New York. Harry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Glad to have you with us.
Thanks. First, I just heard, you know, this is the first time I heard about Andy Stevenson dropping out of that race. I'm kind of sad.
Yeah, I know.
He's worked so hard in general on the black box voting issue. But I went to see the movie last night in on Long Island at the Westbury Movie Theater. They had it playing at two screens that are about 1,000 seats each. It's a pretty big theater. And both were sold out. And I think shows before and after were sold out. And I don't remember ever seeing a movie that has had sold out day shows, sold out night shows. I mean, it's like Star Wars. But the reaction to it, for my reaction to it, first of all, I had no idea that the Taliban was in Texas a few years ago. I thought we were trying to hunt them down.
Yeah, folks, I guess we should.
Did you know about that?
Yeah, some of the Taliban folks did come visit Mr. Bush in Texas. You know, we were kind of palsy-wowsy with some of the Taliban. And of course, we gave them that, what was it, $43 million right before 9/11 started?
If Clinton had met with the Taliban in the Oval Office, people would have wanted to hang him high.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's all right for Bush to meet with the Taliban when he's not even in Bush wasn't even in government at the time? It's outrageous. Anyway, the movie, I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was rock solid. It was like total truth. Because it wasn't even Michael Moore and his opinion that much. It was a lot of just video clips and
right.
footage. And
right.
you know, it was there for you to see. It wasn't someone else force-feeding anything.
He didn't really come up with any opinions that, well, that weren't just mainstream opinions on the left. I mean, that's a fact.
It was, yeah, most of the movie wasn't commentary. Most of the movie was like him presenting something that's actually happened, and then they'll like roll the footage.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And then everyone applauded in the end, which I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, that's the first time I've had that happen in a movie for a long, long time. I think the MASH movie, the original MASH movie, is the only one that I was ever in where that happened. Hey, Harry, thanks so much for calling.
Thanks.
Do appreciate your call very, very much. Hey, let's go back to New York. I'm going to go to the New York Bureau. Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy.
How's it going up there?
Very well, very well. With my writing partner and I got to see 9/11 on Thursday night because it opened early here.
Oh.
All the showings of the we opened it on Wednesday, actually, and every showing was sold out. Quite an experience.
Yes, it is.
There are so many things in it, you know, that were, I mean, did I learn a lot from it? No.
No.
But there's a difference about, if you've seen the Booker School video of Bush in the classroom on the internet, or even on a TV screen, it's not the same as seeing it crystal clear on a big screen.
Right.
It's stunning. But I wanted to focus on one of the most important bits for those people that are sitting on the fence, for those people that believe that Bush is their guy, It was that teeny clip of the white tie dinner between the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, man.
And Bush says, some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Yeah.
Well, Bush's base, wake up. He doesn't give a insert Cheney line here about you.
Right.
Not a bit.
Couldn't.
That was, again, that was like one of those just crystalline moments of exactly... It was one of the few times we've ever seen Bush tell the truth.
Yeah. And you could tell he was very comfortable with
very
it.
Very comfortable, and they're all yucking it up, and ha, 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 you know. And it's true. The only people that benefit from a Bush presidency are that 1%.
Yeah, what was it? What was the exact quote? He said, some people call you the elite, I call you my base.
Here you are, the haves and the have-mores. Some call you the elite, I call you my base.
Yeah, big chuckle.
I mean, that should be a carry ad.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be able to turn on my TV without seeing that clip.
Yeah.
Because they've got to see that clip.
That's a fact.
To know exactly who they think this person is on their side? Hello?
Right.
Not even close.
That's the amazing part of all this. For the average Joe, if any of you average Joe thinks that George Bush is on your side, oh, come on, wake up, please.
And by the way, I heard you mention 400 screens. It's actually well over 800.
Oh, is it?
And it actually was number one on Friday, even though it had 2,000 less screens than the number two movie.
Well, you New York guys, you always know all about this showbiz
stuff.
Yeah,
us DU guys know.
No, you New York guys, you lord that over us. You're the king of showbiz, and you know every last detail about what's going on. And you know you make us Southerners feel stupid.
Well, I'm not trying to make anybody look stupid, but it's just that it keeps increasing. The theaters are having it on one screen, and then they're having to drop, you know, white chicks and put it on the second screen and the third screen because they got lines going around the corner everywhere.
I wonder how that works. I mean, they've only got so many copies of it, right? I mean, what, are they able to make another copy real quick and ship it out?
I read a post on Democratic Underground of someone who works in the movie business and knows about how the projection things work, and they basically have to start it in one theater, one reel, and as soon as that reel is done, they take it down the hall and start it in the second.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense.
It was interesting.
Didn't think about that. What was the end of the movie like when you saw it? What was the audience reaction?
A lot of applause, and what I thought was, again, was most stunning was that after the applause, there was just not much conversation. People walked out very quietly, and I was with two, you know, we had been having political talk for full to what we met for dinner and drinks, and just having this ongoing conversation, knowing about the show and about this and that, and we left the theater, we barely exchanged three words in the 6-8 blocks walking to our respective subway stops.
Yeah.
We were just speechless.
Well, I noticed that the group that came out before we went in, they were fairly... quiet. They were very quiet, as a matter of fact.
It was quite stunning.
Jeff, how's the review coming?
The review is going beautifully. Our advertising is up now. We're coming the last 2 weeks of rehearsal, and it's far exceeding my expectations.
Wonderful.
As far as the performances are going, these people are going to crack people up and break their hearts. That was one thing that I think, again, looking at Moore's movie, I'm going, my God, it's like our show in some ways is 9/11 the musical, because we have the mother who's lost her son, and we have the attack on the media, and we have the attack on this and like that. I just hope they understand that I wrote all of this material well in advance of Michael Moore's movie and didn't steal the damn thing.
Well, Jeff, keep us posted. Looking forward to it when it opens and find out how it does. Sure love to see it, but I understand that there's a possibility there might be some video available later on.
There will absolutely be a video available sometime by the early fall.
Great. Jeff, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it very much.
Donate. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, let's see who's up next here. I guess we're going over to Cape Coral, Florida. Going to talk to John. John, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. young guy.
Good afternoon.
I haven't seen the movie yet, and you keep tickling me and tickling me that I'm going to have to get to see it because...
A most unusual experience.
I just don't like the long lines. I come from New York originally, and I come to not like the person you just called. I came down here to avoid things like that.
Yeah.
Which is my political statement. But, you know, I want to ask a question, if I could.
Sure.
Given what's happened with that, and given what's happened across this country, is it possible that the Republicans are beginning to fall to pieces? Because I watched and heard your counterpart on talk radio, a man by the name of Watkins, who comes on 5 days a week. And he kept talking about Cheney's use of a word which I guess I should not utter on your show.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But
he dropped the bomb. He dropped the F-bomb, folks. He most certainly did.
I didn't even use the initial, if you notice.
Well, they know what we're talking about. No use hiding it. But here's the Vice President of the United States, not in a private conversation, but in front of the Senate of the United States on the Senate floor, telling Mr. Leahy to go F-bomb himself. I thought, well, you know, and at first they denied it, and now they're kind of admitting that he did say it.
Well, you know, given all of that, they're under enormous pressure, and they have to know, with things like Michael Moore's movie and people beginning to react, that their act is beginning to crumble.
Well, it is, and you know, John, you see what's happening, and they're turning to other tactics. Now Cheney's resorted to his bully tactics. He's going to shut them up by shouting them down and calling them names on the Senate floor. That's what kind of people these are.
And when you have to resort to the four-letter language, which, by the way, you certainly hear up in New York, because I come from there.
Sure.
They know that word quite well up there. I mean, just walk all through the subways as you go through the turnstiles, everybody's using it.
Yep.
It's a word that... You know, supposedly not used in polite circles, and when it's being used, you begin to know, and people under, like Cheney, who are self-righteous, use it, you know the pressure is on. I have another question for you.
Sure.
I once in a while do some reading, and I just finished a novel called The Last Juror by John Grisham, where he has the young man who was his hero talk about the whole situation during Vietnam in the 1970s. And the reaction of the people during the 70s to the Vietnam War, and the arguments about the war. And as I sat there reading it, I thought, gee, aren't we reliving Vietnam all over again?
Seems like it. There's certainly days that it seems like it.
I mean, one of the things I keep hearing is that the people who support Bush try to draw the analogy of the heroics of World War II. And we're fighting for our lives as World War II, but then again, it seems to be Vietnam all over again, which brings me to one last point, if I might.
Sure.
If you recall, I asked something on your show a number of weeks ago, and you did not have an answer. And the question I raised to you, and you were kind enough to let me ask it, and I've asked it other places, and nobody can answer it. Is this an illegal war, since our Constitution, Section 1, Article 8, says that only Congress can declare war? Well, who said this very, very publicly this week was Al Gore, raising the same question,
yep,
that this war is illegal. And I said, gee, I'm not that bright. And people who know me say I'm not that bright. But if I'm bright enough to pick this up, and now Al Gore has picked this up in a major speech at the University of Virginia, could there be something to it that this president and these people who are conservative and holier than thou are proceeding totally illegally?
For some reason, and I don't know what it is, it appears to me that the legislative branch has ceded that power to the executive branch, and I don't know why.
Do they have the right to under the U.S. Constitution?
Not that I'm aware of, John, but, how does this happen? You know, there's nobody more full of puff and just ego than a United States senator. You see that all the time. If you don't believe me, you can take a look at Joe Biden. Anyway, I'd love to pick on Joe Biden. But anyway, you know, they all think they should be president of the United States. And the fact that the executive branch has literally run over the Senate on this, really, it to me, is exasperating. I just can't imagine how it's happened.
Well, I would think that people who consider them conservatives, waving the flag, talking about our great country, would be observing the Constitution of the United States. And I ask a question, and nobody has again answered the question, and I know that I cause trouble when I cause your show, but you haven't hung up on me yet. How can you commit treason in a country that is illegally at war?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if we're not, if the President of the United States is not operating properly under the Constitution of the United States, if even the Congress does not observe the Constitution of the United States, and this country is illegally at war, and it violates the Constitution of the United States, isn't there something wrong? And I just raised this question and will keep on raising it, because people are dying, and I think they're dying in something that is a violation of our U.S. Constitution. And I know I get in trouble every time I say this, but I'm going to keep on raising it.
I agree with
you,
John. I absolutely agree with you. I do. The thing is, who's going to hold their feet to the fire on it? If the Senate and the House isn't, who's going to do it?
I don't know, but maybe somebody, you know, one of my questions, you have a young man who is being held in prison on the east coast of Florida because he said, I don't want to go back to Iraq.
Yeah.
And maybe some brilliant lawyer can take a case like that and say, hey, this young man is being held illegally because the powers that be that are doing all of this are violating the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
And I just think that since Al Gore raised it as publicly, I would, you know, pick up on this and use your show to raise this question. You know, I think Michael Moore is doing a good job, but I think there is a constitutional question which is being ignored and needs to be looked at. And
well, hey, we'll have some of our legal scholars that we're online with take a good look at this. I'll try and get a better answer for you.
Well, I would appreciate it. I think that it is a legitimate question until somebody says to me, the gentleman from Cape Coral, meaning myself, is totally wrong. I may raise this from time to time again.
All right.
And I thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks very much, John.
Take care.
Hey, we've got somebody online right now who says they just came from the film. Dan in Cape Coral.
Hey, how you doing, guy? Good. How's things going?
All right.
Yes, I did. I just came from the movie, and I want to tell you, it was fantastic. And I went to a matinee. Can you hear me?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Oh, okay. I went to a matinee. And every time I've gone to a matinee, I have never seen a theater crowded because it's usually in the peak part of the day. But this time it was crowded. It was jam-packed. It was practically, it could have been standing room only. And at the end of the movie, we got the same kind of applause. I was sitting next to a Vietnam veteran, and he and I were both in during the same time period in 65 and 66. And boy, I tell you, I mean, this was like, between he and I both, tears were rolling down our eyes.
Yeah.
Very effective.
A tremendous amount of emotion.
Very effective. And I was very impressed with it. I've never been a Bush supporter anyway, but if anyone has any doubts about this presidency, they've got to see this movie, because I had, what was amazing to me is the nice mixture of people that were in the theater. They were young and old, and middle-aged, and people that were in their 20s and 30s. It was a great mixture of people, and you could see everybody was affected by it. And at the end, everybody, as soon as they saw a film directed by Michael Moore, they just, I mean, the applause was unreal. It was like almost a standing ovation.
Well, you know, Dan, I'm glad you brought up the point about the mixture of the audience, because in surfing around on the Internet today, I've seen several of the right-wing sites saying that, they monitored the crowds, and there was a bunch of hippie types with 10 earrings in their ear and a bunch of slobs and skinheads and everything else. my experience and my wife's experience last night mirrored what yours it was. It was a mixture, young and old alike, college students, some kids that were in there with their parents, with parental guidance or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, because it was R-rated. Yeah.
And it was, you know, well-dressed, poorly dressed, casual dressed, you know, suit and tie. There was everything in that studio, in that theater. And for anybody to say it was just a bunch of hippie-type crazies is what was it like for your experience?
Mine was completely opposite than both of yours. I mean, about 5 minutes before the film started, I was looking around and looking around and looking around and started to take a little gander at even the front row, and there was maybe a handful of people about my age, which college student around that age.
Uh-huh.
It was a very older crowd that I was with, and that some level surprised me, but not as much, because it was middle of the day on Friday, so I kind of had to realize, you know, these might be the only people that aren't working at the time.
Well, you know, Biz, those hippies get older too.
Yeah, that's true. It wasn't Wheels on Wheels only in that theater.
Yeah.
Believe me, but the nice thing is that it was a mixed crowd, and I was kind of really impressed. And I told the guy next to me, this guy Jerry, I said, you know, I'm really proud that this was not censored. That this shows. I mean, especially the part where Michael Moore walks along and he tries to recruit from politicians if their sons would join, and he's walking with a Marine. And the Marines, I was impressed with this Marine because he had no fear of being castigated or ridiculed, and he was attending senators face to face and asking them, you know, would you let your son? Are we passing out pamphlets? And
well, not our children.
Oh, God forbid!
No, not our children.
See, that's the reason why they won't see it. They know that they drafted. If they ever instill the draft, that's when the war will come to an end.
Yeah, the war is for the little people's children.
Yes. But see, that's what he shows in the movie.
Yeah.
The inner city. He goes to the inner city and shows how these recruiters they're fantastic salesmen. How they walk in and try to get these poor people to try to get them off the street and get them into the military. Well, look, my daughter was on the Abraham Lincoln. She still serves on that ship now. It's out at sea. And she was there when Bush made his fantastic cowboy entrance onto the deck of the ship, a mission accomplished. And I said, you know, I'm glad my daughter had this experience to live through this, but I'm also glad she's in the Navy.
Yeah.
But I felt, when I saw that one mother with her emotions, I mean, I just get choked up because yeah. I would not want to go through that myself. But I love all the clips that Michael Moore is a genius, the way he put this movie together.
It is. That movie is truly genius.
God, yes,
I heard somebody say yesterday, one of the right-wingers said, looked like a bunch of junior high people put it together. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Oh, yeah. But you see, the whole thing is that if you listen to Bill O'Reilly, I listen to both sides because I watch CNN, then I watch Fox, and I watch the news being given on CNN, and then I see the slanted news on Fox and how it's distorted. And it's amazing when I hear Bill O'Reilly say, and now you got to realize Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity have never been in the military.
Yeah.
And I've let them know that they're cowards and they've never even touched on the military.
Well, I don't know how many people saw it, and I'm getting up close to the top of the hour here, but mm-hmm. how many of you saw the exchange between John Podesta and Bill O'Reilly this
Good
week?
Good afternoon.
He had
I thought it was fantastic.
He had John Podesta on his program.
Yes.
And he had John Podesta on the program, right. And I'm getting some feedback here.
Uh-huh.
Had Podesta on the program because he claimed Podesta lied about him because Podesta said O'Reilly told a big fat lie.
Oh, sure.
And so he gets him on the program. Podesta says, sure, you said this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And so O'Reilly says, well, I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong. And
right.
So he plays the clip, the actual uh-huh. film clip
right.
of what the Podesta was accusing of, and there it was.
Uh-huh.
Podesta was absolutely right. What he was accused of saying, he said.
Uh-huh.
And O'Reilly's excuse was, well, I didn't mean it. It was just I was joking.
I was joking.
Yeah. Just a little hyperbole.
Oh, yeah. He always tries to take his little poetic license, just like when he said, that someone said that when Michael Moore accused him, he wanted him killed, you know. And he goes, oh, no, I was just joking. But see, what Bill O'Reilly does that's wrong and is when he makes a statement like, if you vote for President Kerry, always remember, he says, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but just think of who do you think Osama bin Laden wants as the president. So he throws in that little dig to try to change the... He's a conservative all the way, and he's a liar. He's an outward liar.
So. Oh, the guy turns my stomach. Hey, John, Dan, we got to go. We're coming up to the top of the hour.
Guy, I tell you, I hope everyone sees this movie.
Thank you. I do, too.
Okay, buddy. You take care.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, make some arrangements to do so. Who knows? Someday you may not be able to see this movie. And, you know, the Democrats, this crazy David Bossy, is filing suit in federal court to try and not let him advertise it anymore because of the federal election, the new federal election laws. They're trying very hard, and you know, if it gets to the Supreme Court, if it should happen to get there already, why, you know how they're going to rule. So if you get a chance, do go see this. There won't be long lines forever. And pick and choose your time, and you'll be able to get in and see it. Actually, our whole experience last night, the theater was packed, but the whole experiencing, you know, having a little conversation with people in line, we waited about a half hour. It was great. Now, when we came out, there was a long line. I got to admit, a big long line, but we had the best seats in the house when we were there, and it was all in all a really nice experience. It really was, and folks, you need to go see that. Well, hey, we're going to stop for two news at the top of the hour. Those of you on the phone, hang on. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida.
The Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
More kidnappings, more threats in Iraq. I'm Joan Bennett. Militants linked to a prime terrorist suspect in Iraq have given a deadline of 72 hours for their demands to be met, or they say they'll behead three Turkish workers. ABC's Adi Raval in Baghdad.
Al Jazeera is showing video of three Turkish workers apparently held hostage by those loyal to Abu Musab Zarqawi. The terrorists are demanding that all Turkish companies stop doing business in Iraq. That is their demand. They say they will kill the hostages unless these Turkish companies adhere to their demands within the next 72 hours.
A large bomb rocked the largely Shiite city of Hilla, south of Baghdad. At least 17 civilians are reported dead, dozens hurt. President Bush has told European leaders NATO has an obligation to send troops to Iraq to keep the peace and train Iraqi security forces. As for American forces,
we will stay as long as necessary. And then we will leave.
Richard Gowan with the Foreign Policy Center in Cambridge, England, wonders about Mr. Bush's NATO plan.
Where will the training happen? Will it take place inside Iraq? That might involve, say, putting NATO troops inside Iraq, putting them at risk. I'm not sure many governments will be happy with that. There are also political implications. But where else could you train them?
John Kerry weighs in on Vice President Dick Cheney's use of the F word during an exchange with Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy this week.
Do you think Dick Cheney's cursing Democrats today? Wait till November 2nd. We'll give him something to curse about.
Cheney said he felt better after letting loose with the expletive. Freight train hit a car at a rural crossing early today in Louisiana, killing two people, injuring a third. It's the second fatal train vehicle wreck in as many days in the state. Fahrenheit 9/11 took in more than $8 million in its first day. Michael Moore's movie is now on track to be the weekend's top film. This is ABC News.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs for your small business. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $499 plus tax. Monitor not included. Order select systems today and get a free flat panel upgrade. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell. Dell systems use Intel Pentium 4 processors.
Let's face it, mold, mildew, and fungus on your roof is not only unsightly, it's a potential health hazard. DuraShield, an evolution in roofing protection, restores the original beauty of your expensive concrete or tile roof and prevents mold, mildew, and fungus from returning. Guaranteed for 7 years. For asphalt or fiberglass roofing, DuraShield will reduce granule loss as well as prevent the regrowth of mold, mildew, and fungus and will extend the life of your roof. If you're considering having your roof cleaned, don't pressure wash and damage your roof. Call DuraShield for a free no-obligation inspection and estimate at 574-2594. A professional representative will show you why DuraShield has protected nearly 20,000 roofs in the past 11 years and why once you see the difference, you'll never waste your money on pressure washing again. Protect your property by calling DuraShield for a free estimate at 574-2594. Call 574-2594 today.
As a child, I spent a lot of time at the big
office building
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off at the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
God bless America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to the Guy James Show, coming from sunny Southwest Florida on a beautiful afternoon. And so glad to have you along with us, all of you here in this area, up and down the southwest coast of Florida and inland a ways. And, of course, all of our friends and listeners on the Internet around the world. Glad to have you with us. And let me say right off, I do so enjoy getting the email from you folks around the world. I've got a gentleman that regularly sends something from Japan, and we got some folks from England that correspond with us, and from the Middle East, a couple from the Middle East. So enjoy hearing from you. Keep those coming. It's glad to hear... It's great to hear this perspective of what's going on here in the United States from people in other areas of the world. Let me tell you, for those of you who don't know, the perceptions aren't very pretty right now. Not very pretty at all. Hey, I want to take care of something while I'm talking here. I want to thank some people for helping us with the program, helping us support the program. Sue Stroh, Bill Beaumont, Carolyn Dushke, Bobby Kaz, Barbara Presnell, the Democratic Club of Cape Coral, the Shell Point Democratic Club, special thanks to those folks, Marianne and Kilgallen, William Sherrill, Chris Kern, Martha Simons, Vince D'Amici, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, John and Maggie Dowling, and Sindel Thurimurthy. We're so glad to have you folks involved with the program, and we appreciate your help so very much. And for all you book readers, I got to tell you about a great place to get a book. Books are really in fashion once again. Reading is very popular once again, and boy, am I glad to see that. So many people, you know, I once knew somebody that bragged. This is no kidding. I knew a woman one time that bragged that she had never read a book. Never. Wow. I wouldn't admit that if it was me. And she could read. I knew she could read. Well, anyway, I don't know how I got started on that. You know, there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore, and some of the big guys tried to recreate them or minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but neither one comes close. One of our favorites is the oldest bookstore on Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic town exhibit. But on Sanibel Island, it's the real, thriving, not virtual, flesh and blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who is unique as the store itself. The first step inside tells you that this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors and first edition book, or maybe it's a wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. And also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. One can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those from the other side of the fence. Got them from both sides. Currently, for our listeners, they are carrying Michael Moore and Jim Hightower and Al Franken and Molly Ivins and just all the political writers right now. And there's also the bestsellers for easy summer reading, children's books, gifts, cards, and McIntosh is the place for books on nature, birding, and shelling. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at McIntosh. You can also order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. Stop by. Even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida. And we're glad to have those folks as sponsors of our program. Hey, let's go to the phones. And by the way, here are the numbers. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And locally, 479-5540. You know, it occurred to me last night when I was at the theater and it was packed, and right before it started, I ought to just stand up and announce to everybody in there, hey, we're going to discuss this program on the Guy James Show tomorrow. And then I thought, there might be somebody here that doesn't take too kindly to a liberal talk show, and I thought better of it. I thought, why should I make myself a target in this oh-so-Republican area? But I'm kind of sorry I didn't do it anyway. Yeah, take a chance, you know what I mean? Jason in Orlando. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's actually my first time listening, but you got me hooked, man.
Hey, thanks for calling.
All right, I'm a college kid, I'm 19, and while I love Michael Moore and I love the movie, there's one part that I have a comment on. Your last caller talked about how Michael Moore going to Congress and trying to get the 534 congressmen to register their kids was powerful. Well, I kind of felt the opposite because I'm 19. I don't want my parents to be pressured to register in me. Michael Moore should have gone to the 534 Congress kids and asked them to register for something their parents did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was just trying to prove a point that that those congressmen in no way, shape, or form would ever, ever, ever want their kids subjected to this illegal war.
And I have another question. When President Bush said that Osama bin Laden didn't like what we stood for, didn't like how Americans had their freedoms, you know what speech that was from?
Pardon me, what was that again?
President Bush kept on commenting how Osama bin Laden, the reason he attacked us is because he didn't like our freedoms.
Right.
Well, Osama bin Laden didn't attack us until the Clinton years, right?
Right.
So when Reagan was giving him funds and Reagan was giving him arms and Bush was continually to appease them, Osama bin Laden had no problems with our freedom then. He started having problems with our freedom when Clinton started cutting them off and saying how bad he was. So why does Bush have any right to say Osama bin Laden doesn't like our freedoms when his dad and one of his dad's closest advisors were giving them funds and giving them arms and giving them training?
You know, Jason, you're exactly right. And as we're fond of saying on this program, you know, and Bush is so fond of saying, they hate us because we're free. You know, that's the most stupid, ignorant statement I think I've ever heard, and I just boil every time I hear him say that. They don't hate us because we're free. As we've mentioned before, our regular listeners know, the Canadians are free, the Swedes are free, the Norwegians are free, the Dutch are free. There's a lot of free nations in this world that Osama bin Laden hasn't been doing any damage to. It's got nothing to do with freedom. If anything, it's got something to do with the freedom of the people in the Middle East and the U.S. Presence over there subjugating their people and taking some of their freedom away.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Glad to have you along with us listening to the program. Always need new listeners. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Going to go to Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Thank you. I couldn't believe the statement that the president made over in Europe. I think it was in Ireland when one of the newscasters asked him how do you feel about not being popular in Europe? And he says, I don't care if I'm popular here or not. I'm, as long as I get reelected, that has got to be the dumbest thing he could have possibly said. The whole reason for the trip is to get the NATO people to send soldiers over to relieve our people, and they don't want to know how powerful the United States is. All he had to say was, I'm here to listen to you or something, but...
And they're not going to send any troops over there to relieve us of any battle duties or any such thing, maybe to help train people and so forth. And, you know, it's been brought to my attention that the NATO people are stalling. They're stalling for time in order to get involved in this and waiting for until Bush gets out of office.
That's what we need, a fresh new start and a new relationship with the Europeans, because we can't do it all on our own. Bring it on is not going to work.
Oh, I got to see that last night, watching that film again. I tell you, that makes my blood boil every time I see that clip. Bring it on, Mr. Bravado.
I didn't get to see the film, but the right-wingers have got to blame themselves. If they hadn't tried, if they didn't coerce Disney into trying to censor that film, it wouldn't be nearly as popular as it is. So
man, you are exactly right.
On a local issue... We've got a local politician, just a Republican, Connie Mack IV, to tell you how removed from reality the Republican propaganda is. And I don't know the ins and outs, but I know that advertising is very, very expensive, especially on television. And you have focus groups to help you spend your money. And he was asked on our local show, are you getting enough help from your focus group? And he says, I don't have focal groups.
Right.
So this guy is either... so dumb that he doesn't know he has focal groups, or he doesn't have them, and he's spending all that money without trying to channel it where it needs to go. And if this is what he's going to do with tax money, I think this is the wrong guy.
You better believe if Connie Mack, from a very, very political family, you better believe he knows all about focus groups. I don't believe him for one word.
I don't believe that.
A carpet-bagging son of a gun coming into our area here, riding on his name against people here who lived here for a long... He hadn't lived here for 20 years.
No.
And then you know, to Jim Watkins' credit, Jim Watkins asked him, well, tell me, were you planning on coming back here anyway? Oh, yes. Yes, we were planning on coming back here to raise our kids. Just so happened it's right now, huh?
Absolutely laughable. And I give Mr. Watson credit. I never thought he'd throw a hardball like that, but he did.
He threw several hardballs at him. I thought it was good, too.
On the vice president, you know, as much money as the Republican Party and effort, this is going to be a very close race, and they need the Christian right. And to have him go into the Senate and say that word, which we've all said, but we were never proud of it. And what was really bad is he wasn't sorry. He said, oh, I'm glad I said it. I feel relieved. And another point is, why did he say it? He said it to Senator Leahy because Leahy dared to ask him why he wouldn't, Halliburton wouldn't pay their taxes. Why are they in an offshore Bermuda situation? Why are they using all the tax money to enrich themselves and you don't dare... These people are so arrogant, you don't dare ask a question like that.
So. Oh, no, not to the king, Cheney. Oh, no.
And my last point is, according to Don Imus, the most popular book right now is Big Russ. It's about a blue-collar guy who didn't finish high school, fought in World War II, put all his kids through college by working two full-time jobs. This is a blue-collar guy that many years ago was respected. But now, under Republican family values, a person like that would never have a chance. He would be facing unchecked immigration, facing outsourcing, facing anything the government can do to make our blue-collar, plain people be disrespected at every turn. And I think it's a disgrace.
I absolutely agree. A great point, Bill.
Great show today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Going to go to somebody who says they disagree with our assessment of the movie. We're going to go to Mark in Cape Coral. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Fine.
How are you?
Great.
Listen, just a couple things I wanted to take you to task on in a very mild way. I'm a Republican. I'm kind of a medium conservative. And what galls me about you particularly is that some of your liberal supporters will call in and state outright falsehoods. And I know you know better, but you refuse to challenge them on them. And you let the points just slide right on by like they're facts. And I'll give you two good examples. A little while ago, a caller called and said that we're in a war, and why didn't Congress declare the war, and it's an illegal war. And you didn't happen to mention the Korean War started by Democratic President Harry Truman. You didn't mention the Vietnamese War started by Democratic President John F. Kennedy and followed up by LBJ. You just let that slide right on by.
Well, you know, you missed my point. You missed my point. And when I said, when did this happen, that the legislative branch has ceded that power to the executive branch, that goes back a long ways.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know when it was that they decided that they weren't going to holler about it anymore. But why don't they? I don't understand.
Now that is 100% correct. But it just upset me a little bit that you didn't.
No, it goes both ways, and I didn't mean to imply that it doesn't. I don't think that the presidency under Republican or Democratic administration has the power to declare a war and call it something else, or it's not right. You know, according to the rules and regulations of law in this country, that's not how it's supposed to be. And it's wrong. It's wrong no matter who does it.
Two more quick points. Your last caller just called in, or not the last one, but the one before that, and mentioned that why the militant Islam is trying, the terrorists are trying to destroy us. And he said, it's never happened under Clinton, that Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden never attacked us under Clinton. And you let that slide.
No, he absolutely did not say that.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't say that.
He said,
no.
Why didn't these attacks take place when Clinton was president?
No,
that's exactly what
that's not what he said.
Why,
he said, why?
Correct me.
No, that is not what he said. You misunderstood. He said during the Reagan administration, why wouldn't he attacking us because we weren't free? They only started that during the Clinton administration. He said they started attacking us during the Clinton administration. That's what he said.
All right. Well, the Khobar Towers occurred during the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
But that's. So he was incorrect on that. Then the last thing, and this just happened, you called Connie Mack a carpetbagging son of a gun.
He is.
And I've never heard you refer to Hillary Clinton and what she did in New York State in those terms.
Carpetbagging is wrong. Period.
Is Hillary a carpetbagger?
Sure.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate your candor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, anybody that does that comes in and, you know, you look at Liddy Dole. Liddy Dole right now is a carpetbagger. She's done the same thing as Connie Mack is trying to do. She was raised in a certain area there, and now she's moved away and come back after so many years, and pretending like she's a lifelong resident of there. I don't like that, no matter who does it. And for those of you that think I'm not equal opportunity here, I was looking for a little article I had here. How many of you heard about? Where is this? How many of you heard about this? Reverend Moon thing that took place at the Dirksen Senate Office Building back on March 23rd. I bet a lot of you didn't know about it. You know about Reverend Moon. He's owner of the conservative Washington Times newspaper and UPI wire service. He was given a bejeweled crown by Representative Danny K. Davis, Democrat of Illinois, at this coronation ceremony for Reverend Moon that they held in the Dirksen Senate Office Building. There was a whole bunch of politicians there. Give you an idea of what Reverend Moon is like. And by the way, he owns this right-wing newspaper. He told his bipartisan audience of Washington power players that he'd save everyone on Earth as he had saved the souls of Hitler and Stalin. The murderous dictators had been born again through him, he said. And in a vision, Moon said the reformed Hitler and Stalin vouched for him, calling him none other than humanity's savior, Messiah, returning Lord, and true parent. And the audience for this thing was made up from congressmen and senators of the United States, at least a dozen. Reverend Moon said there were more than that. Reverend Moon's people say there were 81 congressmen attending, although the number, that's probably high. But they did this in the Dirksen Senate Office Building, crowned this man. I'm appalled by this. And a Democrat was involved, claimed he didn't go, and then after people said, oh, we got pictures of it, oh, well, maybe I did. It's fascinating to me that this kind of unbelievable thing could take place in the Dirksen Senate, defiled that building as far as I'm concerned. Reverend Moon, please. Oh, well. Hey, we're going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. I have 2 points, but let me mention briefly something regarding the, you know, what the I think the, a lot of times the politicians do, you know, but the carpet bagger type of issue that you discussed, the same thing happened with the vice president and the president of the United States. They were both from Texas. It was against the law for them to be from the same state. So what they get around the law, they break the law even before they get into office, and he, well, let's circumvent the law, and he goes to Wyoming and establishes residency there. Now it's okay. So why was the law passed? Why was there was a law? I mean, they just laughed at it, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think that should have happened.
How about Mitt Romney?
Yeah.
Governor Mitt Romney up north, he has no question his residence was in Utah.
It happens all the time. But, you know, the reason that I called it was, you know, to kind of reinforce a little bit, you know, what you said about the movie. I tried to see the movie, but it was, the lines were just too big. But we're going to try to see it tomorrow, if not, but we'll definitely see it. You know, President Bush, when he first took office, the very, very first thing that I saw in the paper that he did, he was one day he met with the top 100 supporters behind closed doors. No one was allowed. And the second day, he met with the other, the second 100 supporters. That, if we elected him and he works for us, why does he meet with this large corporation, the big donors in this country? That left a sour taste in my mouth. And if Democrats do it, then that would also be wrong. I just, you know, I mean,
absolutely.
I just,
you know, the cold hard facts are. We had this Dan Biotti on talking about Halliburton here a while back, the author of that Halliburton book. Cold hard facts are, if a bunch of fat cats that run the big companies in the United States end up raising $100 million for you, and Joe Smith that lives down the street that contributed $3, who are you going to take care of? And that's just exactly how it works on both sides of the aisle.
Yep, I'm glad McCain did what he did, but apparently it needs to be done in a better way, because they're taking the megaphone, like he says, away from the American people just buying it with money.
Sure.
The other thing that, the second thing that Bill Clinton, and this is in the local newspaper here in Fort Myers, is that he nullified the workers' compensation bill that had already passed the Senate. It would pass the Congress, and Bill Clinton had signed. He nullified it. And that bill said that if you were an employer of over 50,000 employees, that you could not just fire your employees when they develop, for example, carpal tunnel syndrome. You should make an attempt to fix that or find them another job. And instead of, because of what they were doing and they are doing now is that they are when they're just before retirement, so that, you know, age, they would fire them. They don't have to pay a lot of the, not just, you know, health insurance and whatever benefit they have coming. And then the same statement that was out, you know, the news press put out, it said that, that's a local newspaper here, said that they, with that signature, his first signature as president, he saved big corporations $80 billion. And that's nothing wrong with saving them that money, but what did he do to the rest of us? And
that's a pretty good return on their money, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably what they talked about they, behind closed door, sure. Although they won't tell us. The last thing I want to say real quick is that I think I know how the Democrats can regain the state of Florida on their side for a long time to come. And that is by open up relationships with Castro, who the next Democratic president will do that, because the Cuban Americans, you know, there are about a million in southeast Florida, in Dade County, vote 85% Republican, and they are Republican far to the right on international issues, but they are Democrat leaning in the domestic issues. So if they did not have Castro to kick around anymore, the radio station that keeps them, I don't know, fired up to vote for the president of the United States along, you know, to, for the Republican, and that because they're strong on national issues, then once that is not there, once they don't have that issue, that pub, I think that they will go from 80-85% Republican, maybe 50-50, or maybe 60-40 as far as Democrat, because they did elect Alex Pinella, you know, a Democrat for right. A local election. So I think that if they do that, you know, they will tilt the scale, and Florida will fall on the side of the Democrats for a long time to come.
Can't disagree with you. Thanks for your call, Juan.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Hey, I better pause for a break right now. Got a commercial we have to get in, so you're listening to The Guy James Show. Hey, stay tuned, and everybody stay on the phone. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. I feel like I'm choking. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WBTK. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, you still got time, plenty of time to call the show. We got a couple of lines open, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. It's on our nickel, folks. Let's go to Bob in Cape Coral. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy, good afternoon. Hey, Guy, listen, I can't wait to see the movie tomorrow. The buzz sounds really good. Is it truly as good as everybody's talking about?
I think you're going to find it to be a very unique experience. Unique.
I can't wait. We're going to see it in the matinee tomorrow. I bet you'll be sold out just like all the other shows.
I'm sure it will.
But I got a question for you, though. Of the exaggerations in the movie, I'm just wondering about that. They keep saying on the TV about all the right-wing pundits are saying about Bin Laden family being flown out of the country. Is that true? Did you find that a true depiction?
It's absolutely true.
Okay, but so what they're saying about that's one of the falsehoods of the movie,
it's not a falsehood. If there's any error in that whole scenario whatsoever, it would be that some people, I don't think Moore made it look this way, but I think some people who are looking for something to complain about in this movie might say that the Bin Laden family isn't necessarily that, just because they were close to the Bin Laden, which is a huge family. It's like the Smith family here.
Yeah.
They're making it seem like that was Osama Bin Laden's immediate family. Well, no, they didn't say that, and I don't think they alluded to that. But they may be guilty of association that way. But the fact is, here was a group of people with that name that were in this country, and we knew a bunch of Saudis had perpetrated this crime, and they certainly could have undergone more scrutiny than they did. There's no question about that. There's no question that the Saudi money and the Saudi association with the Carlyle Group helped that whole thing take place.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I'm pro movie on this, but I just make sure. I wish they didn't give him any ammunition to criticize the movie. My other question was the sandbagging of the congressman. Now, when he asked the congressman about, would you put your son or daughter into this war, I mean, how does he know 10 years old is not old enough to fight in the war. Is that something that I'm going to see in the movie that's more clear than that?
No, you're not going to know who had how many kids. I don't know that he ever made that clear. Biz, did he make that clear?
As he's narrating it, when he's walking up the street, he says that there is one U.S. senator.
Yeah, I know that. But
he never mentioned him by name, and I think that's
privacy.
Joe Biden, we know Joe Biden has a child in the Navy.
The question
is... Yeah, that's the one that he was talking about, I'm pretty sure.
The average congressman he went up and talked to there, how did he know that he had any kids and that he wasn't asking to commit his five-year-old? I think the point he was trying to make, the point he was definitely trying to make, that a congressman... aren't going to commit their kids to that, even if they're all of military.
Well, we know that. We know that for certain. But I just wish that he didn't even put that in there, because there's enough power. There's enough power in the movie to move you that you don't need to to go to any of those exaggerations.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think the first senator that he approached, I mean, he actually took the brochures and was, I mean, sincere about it and didn't brush, at least stopped to talk to him and didn't brush him off like the rest of them did. And I thought that was pretty powerful,
too.
He
had a kid in college, which I think one of them did. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. At least that rebukes everything that they're saying about all these things. You give them a few examples of how they can say it's an exaggeration, they'll make the whole movie a total lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it gives them, it gives what they want. But real quick, I just want to talk to you about it. It was a great week for Kerry, though, in the polls, though, wasn't it? 56% people believe the war in Iraq was unjust now. I mean...
Yeah, the polls certainly did change a considerable number on that, and the polls are encouraging for Kerry in some of the battleground states, all except the Fox News polls, which are always skewed.
That's right. You really don't know what to go with. But also, too, what I was shocked about was Kerry... There, people are more happy about Kerry on the economy by 56% to 43%. To me, that was a big surprise, because people are against the war now. Now the economy, too. So I don't see how they can have Bush ahead 49-48% when the two main points are, the war and the economy,
right.
And Kerry's killing them. So where did the polls come from?
Have you ever been polled?
No.
I haven't either.
I wonder about that.
I always wonder about that. Are they talking to the same people forever? I'd love to know that. But I personally, the sense I have, and I seem to have a good sense, if I want to brag a little bit, I think I have a good sense of what's happening and with my ear to the ground. I don't think the polls are correct.
Me neither.
I really don't. I think there's a bigger spread than what they're showing, particularly in Ohio. Particularly in Pennsylvania, and even particularly in Florida.
Well, that's what the thing is, too. And you said you were going to talk this week about are you doing better 4 years from better now than 4 years ago. Me, myself, personally, I'm doing better than I was 4 years ago. But I don't give that any credit to President Bush. I consider that my hard work.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the manufacturing industry. So if I had a job in manufacturing, I know I would not be doing well, because I'm from the Northeast, and I know up there people in manufacturing are doing terrible.
Right.
Just to put a little plug in for what you were talking about last week.
Well, go see the movie. I guarantee you will never forget the experience of it. If it's anything like the rest of us that have seen it have talked about, you will find it a enlightening and most unusual movie experience. You really will.
I can't wait, Guy. I bought my tickets on Thursday for you.
Yeah, good.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call. Going to go to way up into Beantown, gone to Paul up in Boston. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Hank. I try to catch you as much as I can on the weekends, and I just caught missed the first hour. But a story that did come up this week that surprised me and didn't get very much publicity was Thursday, I believe it was, Lee Iacocca, former chairman of Chrysler, had switched his endorsement from Bush to Kerry.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and I was surprised out of all these things that was going on, and this is a mind blowing. I mean, this guy's a long time Republican. He was even spending money on ads for Bush. And,
even at one time, his name was bandied about as a candidate for that office.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember how many years ago was when Chrysler was really at their zenith. There, maybe. 15 years ago. I can't remember when it was for sure, but, he was mentioned because he was a great businessman and a guy with great vision and all. I respect Lee Iacocca tremendously. Tell me, Paul, you're in Boston.
Yes.
What's the mood there? You got your Massachusetts guy. What do you think? Is the whole state lit up for Kerry?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of bumper stickers. You know, it's going up all over the place. It's quite a wild. We have one newspaper here though that just every day. You can see it online. Boston Herald. They're more of the conservative ilk, and every day a front page news is something to bash the whole idea of the convention, or you know, whether it's going to be a traffic jam or something. It's amazing how this newspaper is just trying to do this in. But it's
I remember how the Herald had such a conniption here a few weeks back when they caught John Kerry with that little off-the-cuff remark he made at some gathering. I don't know, it was a group of his supporters, and he made a little off-color remark, and the Herald made a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Did they make a big deal out of Cheney saying what he said yesterday?
Oh, no. I can show you. It's a small little, page 8, a small little column that they just mentioned that he, you know, he made the F-bomb, and that's it, but not a real...
Yeah, when Kerry does it out at a support group with a group of supporters off the record and accidentally caught in the mic, it's a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
But when Cheney does it on the United States Senate floor to another United States senator, it was called meaningful dialogue.
Yeah.
quite a difference.
Yeah, I just made my tickets for a 5 Fahrenheit for a 6:50 show, so. I'm glad to go see it.
Good. You'll enjoy it. I know you will. In a way, you'll enjoy it, and in a way, you won't.
Yeah.
It's very sobering, let me tell you. Very sobering.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Well, we're going to go to Ryan in Wisconsin. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Guy. How are you doing?
Great.
Great. Great show, as usual. I tune in every Saturday. I'm on the George Bush website right now. You know, it's paid for by Bush Cheney 2004. And I don't know if you've heard about this. I haven't seen anything on CNN about it or any of the other news stations, but...
About the tremendous hypocrisy?
Exactly. Do you remember the rage and outrage that they expressed over some MoveOn.org ad that wasn't even sponsored by John Kerry or anything, comparing George Bush to Adolf Hitler?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell them all about it.
What they do is they start out the ad and they show Al Gore and one of his... fiery orations that he gave a while back. Then they show Howard Dean and Dick Gephardt. Then they show Adolf Hitler. And then right after that, they show John Kerry as if all these people are some crazy extreme leftist people. And they were so outraged, and it was all over the news about this MoveOn.org ad. Where is the outrage in the media and all the publicity being paid attention to this?
Yes, and let's point out that this thing that was made for MoveOn.org was not one of their winners. It was made by some independent person. It was not run as one of their commercials, not at all, and it was not chosen for one of their top spots. This commercial, however, talk about hypocrisy, is being run, and it is being run on purpose.
Right. It's the very first thing you see when you log on to GeorgeBush.com, the very first thing.
Yeah.
And it's a Windows Media little movie. It's a little ad.
Isn't it interesting that over the last couple of weeks we had George Bush on their website, and then we went for all Ronald Reagan all the time to Hitler now?
Yeah. I mean, if anything, if you look at the political spectrum, the Nazis would definitely align themselves more with the Republicans than the Democrats.
Well, if you like to stifle free speech and run over people and bully your way into getting your way, I would agree with you.
Lock up people and never give them a trial and,
yeah.
You know, declare people as enemy combatants and take away every single right, even if they are a U.S. citizen. Yeah, that sounds more like the Nazis than what John Kerry's talking about. But another quick point I'd like to ask you about, and I just wonder if the system can't even be fair and honest, but this whole thing with Tom DeLay, that congressman who wants to bring him up on ethics charges,
mm-hmm.
Is he being investigated in Texas right now for some campaign finance scandal? And this ethics committee, isn't that just like everything else run by the Republicans who have the majority right now? And
oh, sure.
Is there a chance that it'll get there and it'll be fairly addressed by Congress or this ethics committee at all?
I don't think there's any chance it'll be fairly addressed in our Congress. There is, however, from what I hear in my sources, there is a distinct possibility that DeLay could be indicted in Texas.
Oh, that would That'd be amazing. Every time I see that guy on C-SPAN, I just want to...
I'd fly down there for the festivities.
Yeah, you could broadcast live from there.
Yeah, it would be a pleasure. It really would. Nobody in politics disgusts me more than Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
Ryan, thanks for your call.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Right now, we've got to pause for a break. Hang on the phone if you're on. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK in Fort Myers. We'll be right back after these words.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information. Plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour. Plus, the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News and CNBC Business Report. Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Thanks for joining us today. We're always grateful and happy to have all of you along with us on the Guy James program. I do want to remind you that this program is a donor-supported program. No donations, no program. That's pretty much cuts it down to the basics. You can go to our website. And by the way, we want to thank Dan. He's working on our website. We hope to have that new website up in just a couple of days. The old one's still up, by the way, and you can go on there and contribute to the program through PayPal. So we do appreciate everyone that does so. Going to go to Mary in Naples. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Guy. I just want to say I did the Fahrenheit 9/11, and just by the out show of the people that were there trying to get in, shows that Kerry will win by a landslide. I mean, it's whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you've got to vote Kerry. How could you not?
Well, I will have to say that everybody that was in the theater I was in last night was certainly Kerry people, but we tend to forget that if there had been an anti-Michael Moore movie, there probably would, in this area, would have been five times more people go see it. I don't know.
Well, the thing is that I feel after seeing that movie that we are all duped right now by the Bush administration, and we're all being manipulated and lied by them with this terror alert up and down, orange, yellow, green, yellow, red. That is mass manipulation and fear. They're keeping us in fear. That's why they want Bush to win again. They think he's the only one that can keep us out of danger.
Yeah, and, you know, manipulation is what it's all about, Mary. You know, that's what it's all about, is the big-shot politicians manipulating the little people. And I got to admit, the right-wing neocons right now have done a superlative job of manipulation.
Well, they're all after money, and money is power, you know.
That's
so
right.
Money controls the world, and that's exactly what they're doing.
That's right.
So I hope we're all wise enough to see what's going on and open our eyes and ears, and for God's sakes, don't vote for Bush.
Yeah, well, that's our recommendation. Thanks for the call, Mary.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it very much. Going to go to John in Naples. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Guy. I just wanted to update you. If you hadn't heard about what happened at
Fahrenheit 9/11 yesterday afternoon. Ed Edelstein was handing out pamphlets for the Collier County Democratic Club.
This is in Naples?
In Naples. And the another fellow, AJ or something, I guess, he was handing out voter registration cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the Don Hunter's Gestapo came down and told them to stop or they would be arrested. Can you imagine arresting somebody by handing out voter registration folders? I mean, you're not telling them who to vote for.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. And they said, well, you got to move back, you know. So they got all the way back to the sidewalk, and they said, no, you got to go across the street. And he said, Ed, if you don't move, I'm going to have to arrest you.
Now, we know this wasn't the theater owner complaining.
Ed says the complaint came from the guy that took the picture this morning that owns the theater. If that's true, here's a guy that's raking all kinds of money in, and he's doing the same thing that Bush is doing.
Wow.
You know, and he told Ed, he said, if you don't move, I'm going to have to arrest you. And he said, well, go ahead and arrest me. With all the newspaper, the TV, and everything else here, that would be great. Just go ahead and arrest me.
Yeah, why not?
And he backed down then, of course, and he said, well, I'll have to give you a citation. And I guess he did give him a citation, a warning, you know. But they got him for loitering or trespassing. You know, how can you loiter or trespass in a shopping center and there's lines a mile long? Who's to know that they weren't planning to go to the movie?
Yeah.
But irregardless of that fact, you know, they're acting just exactly the way Bush would act if he ever took complete control of this country. Don Hunter and his boys, no matter what happens, if there's a Democrat involved, they're out there pushing them around. If they're waving a sign, they take the signs away from them. No matter what it is, they push, push, push. And, you know, Don Hunter is a delegate the National Republican Convention, okay? Now, he's an elected officer here in Collier County, and he is a representative for the Republican Convention.
That's disgraceful behavior.
How does that work out? I mean, is the guy representing us, or isn't he?
Absolutely disgraceful. You know, it's about like it was here, and for you folks around the country, you don't know, but we had Cheney visit here a while back, and he went to this fancy place called Coconut Point, Ritz-Carlton, I believe it was. And, boy, the deputies came swarming in, had a bunch of old folks out there protesting with signs and being right where the Secret Service told them to be, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Cleared by the Secret Service. And here come the Lee County deputies swarming in. They would, get out, get out. We're going to arrest all of you. You know, start screaming at them. And,
this guy was screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to get hurt by someone handing you a voter registration card? You know, would you please register to vote? When you pass out voter registration material, you can't say vote for Democrats or Republicans or whatever. All you can say is, you know, register to vote.
You know, John, what this is all about. You know, and folks around the country, Joe, John's the former president of the Lee County Democratic Club.
Oh, Collier County.
Collier County. I'm on two counties here.
Right.
And they expect us to behave like good little Democrats. Like we've been. And they expect for us to just lay down and let them run over us and let them have their way with the black box voting machines, just be nice, quiet little Democrats and let them have their way. Well, that's not how it's going to be anymore.
No.
This is not your father's Democrat.
You know, you're talking about the carpetbagger there, what's his name?
Connie Mack. Cornelius McGillicuddy.
Yeah. You know, he upset a lot of people here in Collier County because they had it all figured out. They had the state senator, whatever his name was, going to run for the seat, and his seat was going to be taken over from the guy that just won the representative seat, and then the guy who's always writing in the paper there, the chairman of the Collier County Democratic Club, he was going to take over the commissioner's seat. you know, these people had sat down and had this whole thing all figured out.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony Mack comes in and knocks all these Republicans back a few paces.
Yeah, and he's
they're
got
not
the,
going to say anything, you know.
He's got the bank account to do it, too.
Yeah. Well,
I understand he's got nearly $1 million.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, they all do it. Both sides do it. They're Republicans, Democrats, whatever. But that doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Sheriff Hunter. I'll tell you what. Your intimidation is not going to work anymore. It's not going to work. We have our rights. We have our right to do what we're – and especially, my God, passing out voter registration.
I told Ed, let's get a couple of the older ladies from the Democratic Club and get out there with their shawls and their cane and start handing out pamphlets and see if the police come and arrest them.
You know, in my experience last night, there were people handing out all kinds of literature at the end. Nobody bothered them that I could see.
Yeah.
Nobody bothered them at all.
Ed was handing out literature for the Collier County Democratic Club. So, you know, that. But who's that going to hurt?
Well, and about two-thirds of the way through the movie, I looked over my left shoulder, and I saw a policeman in the theater. And I thought, oh, man, what's this? You know, folks, you got to understand, those of you that live in areas that are 50-50 or Democratic-controlled around the country, you got to understand it's different here. It really is. And, you know, even the slightest thing anymore, we like to look and go, ooh, what's this happening, you know?
Yeah, they're here to protect. You know, they're here to protect, all right? They're here to protect the people with the big bucks. You know, every morning you pick up the paper, and, you know, probably it's true, you see a half a dozen Hispanics, Golden Gate Estates, arrested for drunken driving every single day. But you never pick up the paper and see anybody from Port Royal. You know, I'm sure the people over there drink just as much as the other people do.
Well, they're chauffeurs driving back.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Their chauffeurs would be the city police. They'd make sure they got on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a double standard, and it's too bad. And hopefully people will come to their senses and, you know, register and vote Democrat.
Well,
we're seeing more and more of it happening.
We certainly are, and I'm so excited the way things are going around here. I think we're going to carry Florida, John.
I think so, too.
I'm sure of it, unless the voting machine, you know.
I keep telling people that everybody says how close this election is going to be. It's not going to be close. You know, Kerry's going to beat Bush, and he's going to beat him badly.
Well, I hope you're right.
I said that about Clinton years ago, and there's a bunch of guys that we used to ride around to look at houses where we worked for real estate companies. We had to go to a caravan in the cars. And I said, Clinton's going to get the nomination. Oh, they laughed. They thought that was so funny. Then I said to them, after you get the nomination, Clinton is going to beat Bush. Oh, my God. They thought I was so stupid. You
lost
know?
Your mind.
Then he did win, and I'm telling you, boy, those they couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
From that day to this day, they're still attacking him. But the only reason is because he beat Bush.
Yep.
And when Kerry gets, when Kerry beats Bush, the whole thing's going to start all over again.
Ruined their plan.
Yep.
George the First was supposed to have a second term, and that's just Clinton ruined their plan, and they got even with it.
Oh yeah, they're still trying to get even.
Yeah.
But he keeps coming out ahead.
Yeah, they should know better by now. John, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Don't you like to hear that?
Oh, absolutely.
Bye
bye. You know, I just ran across a quote here. A gentleman, two callers ago, told us about this hypocrisy of this Hitler thing on the Bush website now, georgewbush.com. Ed Gillespie, chairman of the Republican National Committee, said in one of several statements he issued, this is the worst and most vile form of political hate speech, he said about that MoveOn.org entry into that contest. And now, it's gee whiz, it's on the George Bush website. What do you know about that? It's vile hatred when somebody enters something in a contest about linking Bush and Hitler, but if they put it on George Bush's website, it's not vile hatred. Folks, these people are the most hypocritical sons of guns I think I've ever seen in politics in my life. I can't remember a time in my life that I can ever remember a gang like we have in there right now. They are nasty bullies. Cheney did what he did the other day, make no mistake about it, just to intimidate people in the Senate. He's got that demeanor about him anyway. You know what a sourpuss he is and just what a nasty, nasty guy he is. And, of course, I don't think he's very happy right now. A lot of people think this this energy meeting thing that went before the Supreme Court, they think it's over with. But it's not over with. It was sent back down to the lower court. And I think Cheney is very upset about that, that there's still a chance that we might find out about his very secret energy meetings with probably the likes of people that Kenny Lay wanted appointed. You know what I mean? And tell me, folks, why did Ted Olson, our Solicitor General, resign yesterday or day before? Anybody know why Ted Olson resigned? Hmm? It's got something to do with that Cheney deal in front of the Supreme Court. Something to do with it, and I don't know what. Consider this before we hit next week. I want you to decide and let us know, think about it. What do you think the October surprise is going to be in for Americans this coming October? Is it going to be the Diebold election system fixed? Is it going to be a terrorist attack? Is it going to be Osama bin Laden captured? I don't know. You tell me. Think about it. Do you think we're in for an October surprise? I do. I fear we are. Well, anyway, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program today. It's been a pleasure hearing from all of you, those that agreed and those that disagreed. We respect your opinions, and we're glad to have you participate in the program. Don't forget to give us a click on the Guy James Show, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
And the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Protests in Turkey. Time to greet President Bush. I'm Joan Bennett. In Ankara, police fired tear gas at protesters trying to break through barricades hours before President Bush arrived for a NATO summit. On the agenda, Iraq. President Bush wants NATO to supply troops and train Iraqi security forces.
They have to have their forces, their police, well-trained and well-prepared to meet the threat of the few who want to derail the ambitions of the many.
In Iraq today, another powerful explosion with loss of